Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of what we are calling the Backlog Review Game Club. Hi, I am one of your hosts, Chris.
And I am your otherest host, Paul.
Oh, yeah. I was going to send it your way, but I'm like, no, go ahead, man. Jump in. I think you know the story by now, but because I made a dumb bet about drinking G Fuel for a charity event and then recording a podcast about it, I then had to buy podcasting space. And I was like, well, I kind of wanted to do this thing anyways for like 4 years or whatever. Like, it's been in the back of my head for a while. And so I conned Paul into doing it.
And by conned, he said, hey, do you want to do it? And I said, yeah, okay.
Yeah, pretty much. It wasn't much of a con. It was more of a, hey, are you in on this too?
It wasn't too hard to get me to,
yes,
to do it.
But yeah, so thank you for joining us. This one in particular might be all over the place because if you've seen the feed, you know what game we're playing. And we played Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty. I played the PS2 version, and Paul, you played my copy of the HD collection, which is based on the Substance version. I always get confused because Metal Gear Solid 2 had Substance. Metal Gear Solid 3 was Subsistence, which feel like is made up word.
Not confusing at all.
No, not at all. That drove me crazy.
But I feel like that's par for the course.
Yes.
So when it comes to these games.
Yeah.
That being said, this is the only one I've ever played, and this was the first time I ever played it.
I don't want to say that this whole time it's been one big con to get you to play Metal Gear Solid finally so that I have someone else to talk about it with, but I'm not going to say it didn't end up that way and I wasn't a little excited about it.
Well, I'm happy to be the person.
Yep.
So let's have been conned.
Good. We're going to get into it. We're going to be talking for a while. I have 6 pages of notes.
I meant to take notes, and then I didn't.
It was easier for me to take notes because I had to sit here in my office, record gameplay, and so I just had a Google Docs sheet up, and I was just like, I'm just going to take notes while I'm doing this. So, but anyway, let's get started talking about Metal Gear Solid 2.
Let us do it.
This is Snake. Do you read me, Otacon?
Loud and clear, Snake.
Kept you waiting, huh?
So Metal Gear Solid 2 was released originally here in the U.S. November 13th, 2001. It had come out in Japan before that. It was a sequel to the original Metal Gear Solid on PS1. It is a continuing story of Solid Snake and his, I don't want to say adventures, but it's
his cohort.
Yeah, his cohort Otacon. There's so much backstory even to start with 2. And the reason we started with 2 is just because I think I have such fond memories of this because I played this back in 2002, I think. I played it after the Greatest Hits version came out. And even then, I was like, I don't understand any of what's going on. All I know is that I did not know video games could be like this.
Yeah.
Like, up until then, I did not play a ton of story-heavy games. And I think Final Fantasy X and then this one happened. And I was just like, wow, games are, there's a lot more.
It could be deep. It's interesting, too, because I, just in the brief research I did of it as well, I mean, this seemed to be groundbreaking in that.
Yes.
It was, a very heavily story-based, not just game, but, like, franchise in general.
Yeah.
And so.
Absolutely. Like, Metal Gear Solid 1, I think, was a big step forward for storytelling in games just because they took like cutscenes seriously. There was like camera direction, things like that. Mm-hmm. A lot of things that other games hadn't done before. Speaking of Metal Gear Solid, I have the pamphlet here for Substance, and it has a recap of Metal Gear Solid, specifically the Shadow Moses Island incident. The only thing you need to know before this is that Solid Snake had infiltrated, I'm going to try to recap this, and even this is insane. Solid Snake had infiltrated Outer Heaven in the original Metal Gear, which is sort of like a fortress for soldiers that didn't have anything else to do. This is what Big Boss had created. So he went in, found out that the leader of Outer Heaven was Big Boss, and then had to destroy, I don't know if he destroyed outer heaven or at least prevented outer heaven from continuing. And Metal Gear Solid or Metal Gear 2, Big Boss escapes, Snake tracks him down, and I think that's the one where you find out that Snake is technically a son of Big Boss and that he's one of three clones.
A clone, yeah.
So already totally normal. So here's what happened in Metal Gear Solid. On Shadow Moses, a remote island off the coast of Alaska, Foxhound leads an armed uprising and seizes the new Metal Gear Rex in the single biggest act of terrorism in history. At the request of the government, Colonel Roy Campbell, the former commander of Foxhound, summons Solid Snake out of retirement and sends him to infiltrate Shadow Moses Island in one last solo covert operation. Snake must penetrate deep into the heart of a nuclear weapons facility. Aiding him in his mission are Dr. Hal Emmerich, a.k.a. Otacon, a former Metal Gear developer, Meryl, Colonel Campbell's niece, and a team of top specialists in each field who communicate with Snake via the codec. I don't know why they needed to put the codec thing in there.
Yeah, right.
In the middle of his battle against members of Foxhound, Snake encounters a cyborg ninja who thirsts only for battle. This mysterious figure's true identity turns out to be Gray Fox, Snake's former Foxhound comrade who defected to the enemy and fought against Snake in Zanzibar Island. After destroying Metal Gear Rex, Snake confronts the head of a terrorist group, Liquid Snake. That's one of the clone brothers. Each of the snakes, Liquid and Solid, carries the gene of the 20th century's greatest soldier, Big Boss. With the support of the cyborg ninja, Solid Snake fights in a decisive battle with Liquid. After a long and protracted struggle, Snake finally defeats Liquid and leaves the legacy of Shadow Moses behind him. Ah!
Yeah.
So that's Metal Gear Solid 1.
There are so many things going on.
Right.
And we haven't even started the second one.
Yep, haven't even gotten to this game yet. So that is where things are at in the Big Boss / Solid Snake / Snake Clone saga. And that leads us to the events of Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty.
He's right on schedule.
Oh, let's dive into it. There's just no other way to do it. Let's do it.
So one of the things that I found interesting just before we start,
yeah,
is that in the game, as you're starting a new game, you can choose tanker, plant, or tanker plant.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no clue what any of those meant when I was starting, and so I just decided I would do tanker plant because I was like, well, it's combined. It's a good thing I did that, because if not, I would have finished tanker and been like, oh, that's the entire game.
Right.
This, like, hour and a half weird thing. Or if I would have started on plant, then there would have been a lot that I just missed.
Oh, yeah.
But it was interesting because a lot of that was, like, later, like, filled in by story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at a different part in the plant. So, like, the backtracking would have happened. So I don't know, like, if that was part of, like, the substance, like, reissue or what happened.
I want to say it was. I can't confirm that part, but it does sort of explain why you like, if you play a tanker plant, which is how you're supposed to play the game.
Yeah.
You get, like, two tutorials.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, I already know how to do all this.
Well, the first... Like, there was basically not a tutorial for a tanker.
Oh, no.
Because I went in, and there was this very quick, like, aim with the right bumper.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's like, showing, like, you as a character, like, shooting things. And it was very quick, and I was like, what is happening? But I didn't learn any other controls, so that was not so great. Anyway.
No, and the thing that is common among the other games in the series, maybe with the exception of 5, they do not tell you enough information to play the game sometimes.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, kind of do your own research or do a lot of, like, wiki checking.
Yeah, that's basically what I ended up doing.
Yeah. So we ended up playing more or less the same version of the game,
because mm-hmm.
the game you have is based on the one that I have.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's split into two parts. Tanker is much shorter than Plant, but they're both pretty important to the story. So I have a lot less notes on Tanker, but so Tanker begins with Snake and Otacon sort of talking back and forth while Snake is making his way onto a ship that is in the New York Harbor or on a river in New York. I can't remember which river.
I think
river.
It's on the Hudson, so okay. Yeah, near New York.
There we go. So Snake is sent in to get photos of the Marines' new Metal Gear, which I believe is Metal Gear Ray,
mm-hmm.
and sort of expose it to the world that, hey, Metal Gear exists, because they are now part of an anti-Metal Gear group called Philanthropy. That is just one of the many, many factions we will get to.
Yep. if you're keeping track at home, mark the counter one.
Yeah. Go ahead and get the
several.
Faction counter going. We're at one. So they're part of Philanthropy. Their group. Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's go ahead and get it out now. We have a whiteboard because we're going to need to make some notes. So we have our faction counter going at one. So, Philanthropy, anti-Metal Gear group, they want to get this out there to prevent Metal Gear from getting out again.
Metal Gear at this point has been, the shakedown at Shadow Moses has been exposed.
Yeah.
And the world now kind of knows about Metal Gear.
Yeah. They at least know about Rex.
Right.
Which was the old model.
And at this point as well, it's been leaked to the plans for Rex have been leaked to terrorist organizations. Is that
right?
Correct?
Yeah. Cause they were worried about other groups building Rexes. Mm-hmm. So they built Ray as like an anti-Metal Gear.
Yep. Yeah.
You're introduced to Solid Snake again, and you're also introduced to Otacon. Otacon is the guy you call to save. And of course, every time you save with Otacon and then another character we'll meet later on, you always get like these post save little chats.
Yeah, it's just conversations that may or may not really need to happen.
Yeah. Oh man,
it like, just turns into a soap opera. That's the thing that I think is funny, is that like those post saves create, I mean, it's not world building at all. It's like relationship building. Yes. It's you're understanding the bond between the people.
Yeah,
which I think is very strange.
It's some of those post message save messages, some are, you know, 10 seconds, some are, I think one will clock in at almost 5 minutes.
Yeah, I was gonna say upwards of 5 minutes for sure.
It's like, what is all of this? It's just like every explanation has another explanation. But yeah, so anyway, that is what Otacon is there for. So you spend the majority, first part of that mission, sort of sneaking around the ship, just trying to get down into the bottom layers of the tanker where Metal Gear Ray is exposed. So I think right here is just sort of a good place to talk about just sort of the intro gameplay stuff. You know, it's a sneaking game. So there's a lot of finding, well, for me anyway, the gameplay loop was always find the node, get your map on, you get your little radar on the screen. So that then helps you sneak around the enemies in the map, and they're sort of like boxed off. So every room is like boxed off, and there's like a load in between when you go in and out. So that's, you always have like this sort of cut off area that you can worry about just the enemies here.
And it becomes very beneficial when you're seen by said enemies and things are alerted, and you can run between rooms, and it sort of resets everything.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
It is definitely helpful.
And I'm going to go back now because I want to ask you here. I'm trying to find the original text message that you sent me shortly after playing this game. It's okay. Well, it's not directly on. So basically you yelled at me about, holy shit, the controls of this game.
Yeah. Yep.
So how did that feel going from modern shooters where you're used to using like both triggers to a game where you use a the bumper to bring up, use right bumper to get into first person mode, and then you hold what would have been the X button on Xbox just to bring it up
to bring
and
up
then
the gun
let go.
And then let go to shoot. And then it, depending on the weapon that you have, it's already up and you just use X to shoot. So like for the sniper or there's a third set if you have some sort of automatic weapon where you click the left stick to bring it up and aim. and then you press the X button to shoot.
I did not.
It is all over the place.
I forgot about the left stick part with those weapons. I would just start shooting.
Yep.
I wasted a lot of ammo with those.
Well, I mean, by the end, I was doing that as well.
That's
and
funny.
I only realized, like, and I don't know, I was at least halfway through the game that it sort of auto locks.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like, I would say, like a like Grand Theft Auto or something like that, where it just sort of auto locks.
Yeah.
But this is like, it would initially do that and then wouldn't like move around at all. Mm-hmm. So you're just, you have to like quickly bring it up and shoot.
Yeah, it auto targets.
Yeah.
Whoever's sort of in your direct view.
Yeah.
But then from there you have to move it around.
Yeah. I would say, yeah. So that was really annoying. There would be times where I'd have to, like, if I was up against a wall and I wanted to shoot around the wall, I'd have to press the bumper, the right bumper, the right trigger, the X button, and I'd have to be pushing into the direction of the wall,
mm-hmm.
like whatever direction that wall would be in at the time of, or like whatever direction that wall was in that I was going toward, and then turn it a little bit to the right or left to look around. And so many times, like, because the camera would shift from that top-down view to, like, looking right at Snake, it would jump off because the perspective changed. So, like, where the thumbstick was, like, directionally wasn't the right way anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that it would bounce off, and then I'd be seen and killed and whatnot. It was all over the place.
And it's a funny story about your version versus the PS2 version.
Yeah.
When this game came out, the PS2 had analog buttons. So depending on how they were pressure sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
When in Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3 both took advantage of that. So if you...
This is for all the buttons or just the...
It's just the face buttons.
Okay.
So your circle, cross, triangle, square. So like if I had it up, like if I had square up ready to shoot and I let go slowly, I wouldn't shoot at all. It would just release. And so I'd go back to first person view.
Interesting.
I don't know if that was mapped in the Xbox version.
No, because I would have to... No, I'm trying to remember. I would have to let off the right bumper
mm-hmm.
to get out of first person mode, and then I would have to press the right trigger to unequip the weapon.
Oh, wow.
And then yeah, I ended up just like finding a way to do it so that I wouldn't shoot. And it was wild.
Yeah, that was always, I just learned about that.
Yeah.
Like, I always knew
that's
it.
Interesting. Yeah.
I'd always done it when I played it originally, but I didn't realize that was the reason why.
That's why, yeah.
It was, yeah, that pressure sensitive buttons.
Huh. Yeah, I didn't realize. Yeah. That's an interesting thing that those buttons could be pressure sensitive. I mean, you think that they're binary, like that's a digital signal, but I guess not.
And they never did it again. So, like on PS3 and all that,
yeah,
never had them. Like current consoles don't do it, just PS2 had it. Yeah. Yeah, other than that, like, I love the sneaking gameplay stuff. It's tricky.
I do, too. What kind of bothered me was that, like, so it was top-down, but it was so close to Snake that you couldn't really see everything. And I would have rather, like, I enjoy a good stealth game, excuse me, but the fact that you would walk into a room, try to sneak, but you really couldn't because you had no clue where anybody was because of like the scope of the top down
right
view. That definitely made it annoying. So you'd have to like keep going into first person view, but mm-hmm. then you stopped and then you were just out exposed. So I definitely got used to it after a while, but it was certainly interesting.
I think this game has a huge learning curve, especially coming back to it from games because, you know, there's a fixed camera. And then later games in the series finally gave you a full 3D camera. And then those ones I feel hold up even better than these ones gameplay-wise. But yeah, I mean, I still love that loop of, tranking. I don't know about you, I trank almost everybody. Like, there are ways to just get around dudes, but I just trank them in the head. Oh, and that's another fun thing, too. Like, this game is all about details, like little tiny details in the engine and the physics. depending on where you trank a guy is how fast they go down. Yep. And I'm sure you notice this too.
Mm-hmm.
If you trank him in the foot, it takes almost a full minute. But if you trank him in the like shoulder, neck, head, they go down almost instantly.
Yeah.
And that I know was also a big deal at the time. Because you're just like, oh, they're like real dudes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. And I thought that was cool.
Yeah. That I think is also very nifty too, because honestly, like, if you don't have a good shot at someone but you still need to take them out, you can get them in the leg and then just wait.
Yeah.
Like if you're hiding under like a something.
Well, that's if you were able to knock them out too.
Mm-hmm.
The number of stars that were like floating around their head was indicative of how much time you had left. And if you kept trying to like fuss with them, trying to pick them up or even just stepping on them, they would wake up after a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting.
One detail I never got to test out, but I know is true because I've seen clips of it. Whenever the exclamation point pops up over their head, if you can shoot that, they get confused.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And so if the exclamation point pops up and you manage to shoot it, they kind of forget what they did for a minute. And so you have another second to then trank them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
I've never been able to pull that off. Yeah. But that is just so neat. This point in the game, so you're sneaking around to get through. Do you do the Olga fight? You do the Olga fight first.
Yeah. Before you get down below decks.
Yeah, which Olga's introduced because the Russians are then also on the ship as well.
Yeah, I guess this is another faction, right?
Yes, okay.
So we consider this faction number two?
Yes, I would add the faction counter. This is just the Russians.
Yeah.
So we have Philanthropy. We just have the Russians. And so they're on board. I'm trying to remember now because I don't exactly remember why they're on the ship. Have they made a deal or are they just trying to steal Metal Gear?
It's believed that they're trying to steal Metal Gear.
Yeah. So when you first see them, they're like, oh, they're here to get Metal Gear too.
Yeah.
All right. So Olga is the daughter of the head of this particular group.
Russian general.
Yes. I can't remember his name right now, but I'm sure I'll find it later.
Yeah, I can't either.
There's so much more important information to go over. So yeah, you have that first boss fight with her. Fun little details in that, like you can shoot out the light and you can also shoot whenever she shoots the tarp away and blocks her, you can shoot the other end of the tarp and clear it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That comes in handy quite a bit, but it's, you know, pretty standard boss fight. Just sort of like, hey, this is what you'll encounter later.
I do like that. A lot of the boss fights in this game sort of had a puzzle element to them in that,
yes,
like, you know, it wasn't immediately obvious what the weak point is or even what you're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so like little details like that, it was cool that you could even think that way, right? And, you know, have the environment interact with you and different things like that.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
Like they, when they showed off this game, like back in probably 2000s even, one of the big things they would tout was that if you let in the game, there would be a couple of ice cubes, and if you let it there, the ice would melt in close to real time. And so there was like little things like that. They showed off like footage of a sequence where there's like a gunfight in like a food pantry, and like everything in a shelf was like reacting in a way you would expect.
Mm.
Like it was crazy how much physics detail. But yeah, like every boss fight sort of has like a little puzzle element to it. And that I think is a good staple of the series because they would do that later on too.
I totally agree.
Eventually you make your way into the tanker and you get to which is my favorite part of this, which is the timed mission to get the photos. So you'll infiltrate the bottom of the ship. All of the Marines are there.
Yeah.
And so there are three rooms of like at least 100 soldiers each.
Mm-hmm.
And the first three rooms, it's like overflow. So they're just like, there's projectors up and just you have to get through all three rooms to get to the one that actually has Metal Gear Ray in it. And you have, is it 400 seconds? Or four minutes.
You have, in that one, it's 7 minutes.
7 minutes.
His speech is 7 minutes long.
Right. Okay. And also, if you do take too much time, he will go back.
Yeah, and he'll be like, I seem to be repeating myself. Anyway, and then just keep going.
Well, there's even a mechanic, too, that if you get close to the end of the time the first time through, he gives you more time. And you'll see the clock rewind.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, which I only did the very first time I played through it. Subsequent ones, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, I think I got through it with, like, 3 minutes remaining.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, so I love this part because there's a lot of things. Like, I found out you can technically mess with the projectors and change.
Yeah.
Like, in one room, there's two projectors.
Yep.
And you can change it and then force soldiers to look a certain way. For some reason, this time, I had a lot of trouble getting through the first room.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot that the metal grates make noise run across.
That happened to me once. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I think it took me 2 or 3 times initially because I kept triggering a noise or something. Yeah. And then the entire room would look at me and I'd get a game over.
Yeah.
But eventually got through it. Yeah. There's also like certain parts where the speech... The I guess he's the colonel or, you know, the higher ranking official is going like, intruder to the left. And then everybody makes an exclamation noise.
Yep.
And like, intruder to the right. And I remember the first time I played it, I freaked out like, ah.
Yeah.
But luckily, like, you realize, oh, they're just messing with you.
Yeah.
And as long as you're not out in the open, they don't see you.
Yeah, right.
But it is like another thing. You're like, make sure you're hidden. Because I did one time, I was out in the open. I got the game over.
Yeah.
Yeah, that part is great. You upload your photos to Otacon, which is like a fun little Pokemon Snap thing.
Yeah.
Where Otacon makes like little comments based on the photos you took.
Yep.
Apparently, like if you have that camera out and you take, like you can get some other photos of stuff that Otacon will make comments on. Like,
yeah.
There's a ton of girly posters in the game, and I'm pretty sure if you take a photo of one, he will make a comment of like, Snake, what are you taking photos of this for, huh? Yeah, there's like little weird things like that,
yeah,
that I always liked with that. So at this point in the story, this is where things start escalating in the first half. Revolver Ocelot shows up.
Who is...
We're not going to get to what he has on him yet.
Yeah.
But Ocelot shows up with the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
I suggest you run now. This ship is still in the lower New York harbor. You may yet make it to shore if you swim for your life.
And they were there to steal the Metal Gear. Or at least Ocelot had originally set up to help the Russians take Metal Gear so they could have it and or sell it or just have better arms.
Yeah.
Ocelot turns his back on the Russians and says they only use them to get to Metal Gear so that he could steal it for the Patriots. You can add a number to the...
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm going to add it to the faction counter this time. Ooh, that's too big.
That's a gnarly...
Yeah, that's a
gnarly take.
Three, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, so now we have the Patriots, otherwise known as the Lale Lule Low.
Yeah, why is that their name? I have no clue.
I don't know either, but I can tell you, the original time I played through this, I was confused as hell. I'm like, wait, are the Lale Lule Low different than the Patriots, or are they the same thing?
Yeah.
They're the same thing.
Yeah, they're the same thing, but I think it was really just, not a red herring, I guess sort of a red herring, but just like a way to throw off,
yeah,
like throw you off of the actual story.
And it worked.
Yep. Because I was like, I don't know what Lale Lule Low means. But
yep. And they don't bring it up a lot.
I thought it was hilarious when people said it.
Yep. It is really funny because, like, that army colonel or whatever, just like, the Lale Lule Low.
Yeah.
It does crack me up every time.
Like, who has to say that? Man, I just can't imagine, like, where you're in, like, a meeting. Like, you're in a boardroom,
mm-hmm,
a conference room, something, and you're like, all right, daily agenda for the Lale Lule Low.
All right, everybody, you know, glad to join us here in our daily meetings.
Sanders, what are the numbers? For the Lale Lule Low. I don't know. Just,
yeah.
It just seems like such a strange...
I want to see a Jira board or... that just has Lale Lule Low on it and like to do.
That's the team. Yeah, I love it. I love it.
It's like one is the Patriot board. This is the Lale Lule board.
Lale,
yep.
Yeah.
I actually wrote a note here. This is where I start losing the thread.
It's so early in the game.
Yep. We're like, I think it's like an hour in. Two in. And I'm already losing the thread on it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely didn't have any clue.
So at this point, you also learn Ocelot is not just Ocelot anymore.
Yeah.
Ocelot has the arm of Liquid Snake grafted onto him.
It's been a while, brother.
Who are you?
You know who I am.
Liquid?
Not so young anymore, eh, Snake?
So I don't know why. I think
in the first game he loses his arm. Okay. And they add like a mechanical arm. But from what I read on the Wikipedia.
Right. Okay.
Article.
You're right. That explains it. I'm pretty sure he also doesn't have his arm in 5.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he's in 5. We'll come back around to 5 eventually. That explains why he needed a fake arm. So anyway, Liquid Snake, his arm is grafted onto Ocelot. And not only that, it then means that Liquid can sort of take over Ocelot at certain times.
Because, you know, the central processing area of anyone's body is in their arm.
Yeah, you cut off my foot, you attach it onto someone, I now live on in that person.
I now become that person.
Yep. And so not only does...
I feel like that's in a movie of some sort, but I don't remember. Or maybe it had to have been like a more vital organ, like a heart or a brain.
Yeah.
And it like... This, like, screws with the person, but anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
I'm curious where that came from, because Kojima loves his pop culture references.
Yeah.
He loves to throw things in these games, and there's a ton of other ones later in this one alone, but yeah, that would not surprise me. It's from a specific movie that he saw. My favorite part about the whole Liquid taking over Snake is that he switches voices, too. So it's like legitimately Liquid Snake's voice actor. And my favorite thing that happens is everybody gets a title card when they first show up with their voice actor. And when Liquid takes over Ocelot, they just reintroduce Ocelot as Liquid Snake with the Liquid Snake voice actor on there.
And he like becomes jacked and stuff too. Yes. Like, it's just very strange. Like the bodily transformation that happens.
Oh, it's that. I remember getting to that part in the original game. We went, oh, that's it. I need to see the end of this one.
Yeah.
That was the moment where I was like, I don't know what just happened. I don't know who Liquid is at all, but I want to know. I want to find out. At that point, Ocelot and Liquid then take back Metal Gear Ray. And you have to...
They kill Colonel Gerlokovich.
Yes, they kill Olga's dad.
Yeah, I was looking for his name, but it just says Colonel
Gerlokovich. Yeah, Gerlokovich. That's already better than I could not remember it before that. So yeah, they kill Gerlokovich, or he kills Gerlokovich, takes Metal Gear Ray. That sinks the ship, right? I believe him escaping with Ray then starts sinking the tank. The tanker. I'm trying to remember. You don't really play a lot of the running out of the ship part. That's just all cutscenes.
I don't think you play any of it.
And so that sinks, and that's the end of that part. Fade to black.
I'm trying to remember how that timing segment ends, because you have to upload the pictures to the computer.
Yep.
Because I played that enough times where I had to stop in between or something, to the point where I forgot what that part of the objective.
Mm-hmm.
And, I forgot that you can like ask somebody for advice through the codec.
Yeah, you can always call someone on the codec,
and they'll tell you what the objectives are. But I couldn't remember what it was, and so I took two or three times. There were two or three times where I played it, where I took all the pictures, walked the whole way back to the front to try and escape, like going back up to the top of the ship.
Oh, man,
and I didn't upload the pictures, and I didn't realize that was what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
So then I was like, because I remember finally remembering like there's a computer, and I was like, oh shit, that's what I need to do.
That's right there.
Yep.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, go ahead. That was a side note.
No, I'm super curious to hear about your experience with this, because I've played through this now 4 times.
Okay.
So I know what to expect.
Yeah.
And that's why I was so excited to hear about your time with this game.
Yeah, I mean, it should be said that during all of this, I was keeping Chris abreast of the situation.
Yeah, I would get text messages.
Numerous text messages.
Yep. my favorite things too. I would get a text message at like 9 o'clock and I like, what the fuck is liquid?
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah. And so I would just, happy. I mean, this was over my paid time off for Christmas. Mm-hmm. So I was staying up really, really late into the night.
Me too.
And I would just, I feel like I'd text Chris like way too late. Yeah. And just be like, what the fuck is going on?
There's a couple of times like, because after you started it, I was like, man, I should really play through a little bit of it. Yeah. I ended up beating the whole thing because I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there was a couple times I was up to, like, 12:30 at least most nights, like, playing it. And I would get a message from you at 11:30. I'm like, oh, okay, he's, like, an hour or two ahead of me.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to catch up. But I'm like, I know where he's at now, and it's going to get so good.
Yep.
Fade back up now.
Yeah.
It's years later.
The tanker sinks.
Yep, that is now the
Solid Snake goes down with the tanker.
Yes, everyone is like, he went down with the tanker, and people have blamed him and Otacon philanthropy. They are the ones blamed for the incident. That is also now called like the tanker incident or something like that. I can't remember what they call it, but.
Yeah, but it's widely known as.
Yes. So it became a big event. You're now at a offshore facility that is sort of, is it offshore? Yeah, okay, it is offshore.
Yeah, cuz it's the New York.
It's near New York.
Yeah.
But it's not in where the river was. But it's sort of like a filtration facility, sort of like dealing with the pollution from the tanker.
Yeah, it's essentially a plant, or yeah,
yeah,
it's a plant that is filtering the oil or whatever mm-hmm. from the tanker out of the river.
Yes.
Or out of the bay.
You hear the voice of Colonel Campbell from Metal Gear Solid 1. He's running down that terrorists have captured what is called Big Shell. Big Shell's the plant. And they have the president and hostages, other people as hostages. And they're threatening to kill the president and blow up the oil rig. This would then become the biggest environmental disaster in history.
Should we have terrorists as faction?
Okay, so we'll have faction number 4, terrorists. I believe they do know their name. Yeah, this is Dead Cell. We know that it's Dead Cell. So the terrorist organization Dead Cell, threatening to blow up the oil rig, could be the biggest environmental disaster in history, apart from killing the president and the hostages. You are sent in. You don't see this person's face. You just hear the code name Snake.
Mm-hmm.
You know the voice is different, though. So something's already up.
Mm-hmm.
You're swimming up into one of the struts. There are two, I'm trying to think how to explain. There's two central struts, or there's two central cores surrounded by struts. And the struts are alphabetical. The inner ones are numbered.
Mm-hmm.
So the cores are numbered. So you're going to strut F, I believe, of core 1 or shell 1. So you swim up through this underground sort of like submarine port, and you're this new character. Voice is different, and that is the reveal of the actual protagonist of this game, which is Raiden.
And by the way, Snake, we're changing your code name for all following communication.
What's wrong with Snake?
Just a precaution. You are now designated Raiden.
This was a big, big deal at the time because every single piece of marketing up until this point never had any screenshots, video, anything about this tanker or about the Big Shell. All they ever showed was the tanker. So people were like, all right, it's more Snake stuff. Yeah. And then you realize that, yeah, the Snake story right now that you get to play is only about 2 hours. You're going to spend the next 8 to 10 as Raiden.
Yep.
People fucking hated Raiden.
Yeah.
It's not hard to see why almost immediately.
He's just kind of a big baby and just not a classic protagonist. That's like a weird way to say that.
He's almost.
He's just whiny. That's the thing. It's just, he's whiny. There's like other things happening in his life. He's like not, I don't want to say suave. He just doesn't really seem like in the know at all.
He's very dumb.
He's very dumb.
Very dumb protagonist.
But he also is just like not, I would say almost, he's like not with it all of the time, or just, he has a very like simple-minded view of the world.
Yeah, he feels very like anti-Solid Snake.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways. And maybe that was done on purpose.
I really think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But people did not like it.
Yeah.
People hated it. He reveals that he's only trained in VR missions. Over 300, though.
Over 300.
Yeah. They're hard to... They're indecipherable from the real thing.
Yeah.
So you have him rise up to the top of the strut, or the... Yeah, that strut. And at this point, I have a question written down. So on the first strut... Did you fall in the bird crap at all?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
I slipped in the bird crap. But I don't know if I did that originally or if that was later on in the game where I slipped on it. But I did. I did anyway.
All right. I was really hoping, because I definitely did that too.
Yep. It's like banana peel. Like
it's such a weird comedy moment after this whole serious incident. He's like, whoa!
Yeah.
And like the squeaking of his shoes.
Yep.
I love it so much. We do know a part of the trying to get the president back from the hostages. They had sent SEAL Team 10 in. Raiden is sort of there as like extra cover, but nobody knows about his presence there. He's just sort of there to make sure that everything goes well and maybe deal with the terrorist organization.
Yeah.
So you get clips of, another faction, SEAL Team 10. SEAL Team 10.
I'm just trying to draw this out at this point.
So SEAL Team 10 is there. They fail in their mission to rescue the president. This is all played out through the codec with the colonel patching in SEAL Team 10. You hear them get to the president, but then there's a lot of gunfire and that's it. But then it cuts out. And I think they tease one of the characters of Dead Cell there. Oh, yeah, it's Vamp. They're teasing the next character you meet, which is Vamp, because at this point, you have to get to the shell that SEAL Team 10 was in. So you make your way through a couple of the struts, doing the same sort of sneaking gameplay as before. This is the point where you get a whole nother tutorial, teaches you the things you probably should have known at the very beginning of the game. And so you make your way to strut B, I think. I don't remember which strut. But... at this point, you see you meet. I keep forgetting how weird this is now. I'm thinking about it. So you see SEAL Team 10 in there. There's a lot of blood.
Yep.
There's a lot of like corpses.
Yep.
And you see one guy still like, ugh! And you meet Vamp, who's one of the first members of Dead Cell.
Yep.
That's not a fun nickname, other than it's literally a vampire. We have a vampire in this game. And you know that because not only does he kill the last guy, he then totally drinks his blood.
Yep. And I think at this point I had sent a text message to Chris saying, what the fuck, a vampire?
Yep. That made me so happy because I'm like, yes, you're getting to the good stuff.
That's Dead Cell, another faction.
Yeah. Well, that's we put that in with the terrorists.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah. It's, don't worry. Leave it there. We'll just not put the next one up because we got another faction yet.
Yeah, true.
So after Vamp takes out everybody else, there's like one other guy that wasn't there before. Vamp holds him up and he notices that he smells different. And you're like, wait, who's this guy? And he makes a radio call saying, hey, I found this guy. So that's when Raiden meets Iroquois Plissken.
Yep.
My name is Plissken. Iroquois Plissken, Lieutenant Junior Grade.
So, did you catch this pop culture reference?
Iroquois Plissken?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
I had to look it up. So Plissken is the name of the character. It's Kurt Russell's character in Escape from New York and Escape from L.A. Right? Plissken's...
that name did sound familiar. Okay. Yeah.
Plissken's nickname in those movies?
Iroquois.
snake.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh.
So the Iroquois just throw it off, not to make it too obvious what he did. But yeah, Snake Plissken is the name of the character.
That's hilarious.
Is Kurt Russell. So.
Oh, man.
Kojima loves Kurt Russell.
Yeah, apparently so.
You have like a little bit of talk between Plissken and Raiden. It's obvious to anyone who played the first part. It's just Snake.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to know his face from the old games to know it's Snake. It's the same voice.
Yep.
Like, I love that they give him his own title card, though.
I do.
It's Iroquois Plissken with David Hayter as the voice.
It's the same, yeah.
It's like, come on. We know who it is. But, yeah, they tease that out for so long. And, like, it couldn't be more obvious, but... Especially by the time, I remember even the first time I played it, I'm like, look, I don't know much about these characters yet, but I do know that's probably the guy from the first part.
Yeah.
And even by the time they got to Otacon, I was thinking like, I mean, maybe it's not him, but I mean, it's Otacon. Who else is Otacon going to work with?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the whole time I was like, this is definitely him.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the game wore on, I was like, is there some way that this is going to be a weird, like, he's a clone of a clone or like some weird bullshit that way. But
right.
It was really just him.
Yeah. That one.
Spoiler
that
alert.
One,
alert.
spoiler alert. It so was 10 actually
10 minutes later when we talk about it.
Yeah. It is Snake the whole time. He becomes someone that you can call on the codec at any time. So like you have the Colonel now. You also have Rose. We haven't talked about Rose yet. Rose is brought in. That is Raiden's girlfriend. Okay. They don't really make it.
Yeah.
I don't. Okay. They're not married yet.
Right.
Later on.
His lover.
Right. Okay. So this is partner, girlfriend, Rose. Rose was never part of the VR training, but she sort of takes the place of, I believe, Mei Ling from Metal Gear Solid 1. So she was the save person. So.
Okay.
This is, I think, another reason why people hate Raiden. It's because Rose's post-save conversations are the worst.
Yeah, they suck.
They're terrible. They're
it's straight up soap opera.
Yeah, oh my god, does it get soap opera.
Yeah.
And they're like 10-minute exposition dumps about like, I went into your room and there was nothing. There was no one there. Not you, not me, not anyone.
Yeah.
Who are you, Jack?
Yeah, and it just...
Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah, just an item of note. Raiden's real name is Jack.
Jack, yes.
Yeah.
So that gets brought up immediately. That's no big reveal.
Yeah.
All right. So you have Snake there. He falls asleep. I love that he falls asleep immediately.
Yep.
Like, and then he has a little Z's on his head. So you leave him there to rest for a little bit, sort of get his blood back because the vampire tried to get to him. That's when you run into Fortune, who's another member of Dead Cell. Fortune, not a bad character, and honestly, one of the few female characters that Kojima doesn't get creepy about.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing we should bring up at some point.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of really, like, I will say Metal Gear Solid 2 probably has the least amount of gross things about women.
Yeah.
Compared to later on in the series, I feel like Metal Gear Solid 5 is the worst.
Okay.
Metal Gear Solid 2, though, there's like the girly posters, which you can kiss, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know if you did that.
I didn't, because you told me about it like right when I was done,
yeah.
Basically.
Did I tell you about calling Otacon in the snake level? There's an achievement for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You want to know what it's called?
Yep.
Snake Beater.
Oh, God.
Because you call Otacon and you're clearly...
Jerking the gherkin.
Oh, yeah. you're getting down with yourself. Otacon's like, why did you call me Snake?
Oh, God.
Are you doing what I think you're doing? The stuff with Emma,
yeah,
isn't the worst, but it just feels a little weird.
We'll get to that.
Anyway. So Fortune, I feel like, is actually treated pretty well character-wise.
Yeah, I agree.
She's a very much a character. This is a reoccurring theme in these games that wants to die but can't. No bullet can hit her for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So you have a brief fight with her, which is really just outlasting her. Like, you know, you can't get a shot off at her.
Yeah.
So you just wait. You're basically waiting until you get a call, and then you sneak up onto... you don't sneak up because Vamp shows back up. you take a shot at Fortune that ricochets and hits him square in the forehead.
Yeah.
And so you think you kill Vamp. And while she's crying about Vamp, saying, that death was for me, you escape. But then you realize Vamp isn't dead.
Vamp comes back alive.
Because he's a vampire, and apparently that wasn't a silver bullet. I don't know what you have to do to kill him. But yeah, he's not dead. At this point, you're getting a call about the bombs, because you know about the bombs. You meet Stillman, Peter Stillman, mm-hmm. who's the bomb expert that both Plissken and Raiden talk to. He basically sort of lays a story about Fat Man, who is another member of Dead Cell, who is the bomb expert there.
Yep.
He basically sort of raised Fat Man in his ways, like sort of taught him everything he knew, and then he went rogue. And so now here we are, where the master is trying to defeat the student. So he gives Plissken and Raiden the freeze spray, and has them go to each of the shells to freeze the bombs to prevent them from exploding.
Yep.
This is one of the bigger gameplay loops on the struts. I always like this part, even though it's like finding the bombs is a little weird sometimes.
Yep.
Because the way you do it, they get... Apparently, he puts a perfume.
I didn't get that achievement, the snake beater achievement. I thought I might have just accidentally, but I did not.
Yeah, anyway. It's very easy to get.
Anyway.
Fat Man puts a perfume on all of his bombs. You have to use your radar, but what is that little thing? Your little mini map in the corner.
Yeah.
And you get sort of like a heat map looking thing that sort of tells you, all right, this is where the perfume is, because Stillman has made a sensor for it. And that is how you can track down the bombs. There's one in each of the struts. Every time you find one, you call him. It doesn't take long. I think you get like two in before you start to realize these bombs are in weird spots. What's going on?
Yeah.
All right. So that's the gameplay loop, sneaking through each of the struts, finding the bombs. Not really much to say here other than that's where you're playing the game at this point.
One or two of those bombs was just like really annoying to get to.
Oh, yeah.
It took me like so long to get it. There's one where it's like in amongst a bunch of pipes and like trying to find the right way into the pipes. I can't even think about the right way to do it now. Mm-hmm. But it was, now I remember. But it was just so annoying. And by the time I figured it out, I was like, oh. Why didn't I think of this?
Yeah, that was the one you had to drop and slide under a pipe, but your camera view blocks.
Yep.
So you just have to like go into first person to figure it out. There was that one. I remember the one in the bathroom where you wouldn't even see it in the mirror. You just kind of had to look in first person view.
Yeah.
Up behind where the mirror is.
Like by the light. Yeah.
Those were a little annoying. About halfway through freezing bombs, you run into Olga again. She is not a member of Dead Cell. But we don't know who she's with. She's not talking to the Russians. So there's a mystery faction there.
Mm-hmm.
Close to the end of you freezing all the bombs, you find out that... Or Plissken calls in and finds that he found a ton of C4 packed into the bottom of the core of Shell 2. And so that's when you realize, all right, something's going on. These are the real bombs. These other bombs are probably just decoys.
Mm-hmm.
And you still need to freeze them because they can
it's not the core, is it? It's like it's the strut on the end.
No,
if they blow up, then it like pulls the whole thing apart or something.
I thought it was the bottom of the center one because then it does do the same thing where
maybe
it blows
that's
apart.
What it is. Either way,
so Snake is there, and he can deal with those ones if he needs to, but he still has to finish up one more of the struts. Ryan has to deal like two more. This point, this is when you find out Stillman has lied about needing a cane. So he kind of walked in. He was like, you know, his one leg was hurt. He lied about his leg injury because previously there was a bomb in a church that he didn't detonate correctly or prevent. And because a lot of people died and it was his fault, he wanted some sympathy from the event. For screwing up. So he basically faked his whole leg injury. I'm going to read my exact note here. This is ridiculous. Does every character need a face or a heel turn?
Yeah.
So you get to, so he's going to make his way to the core and try to figure out what's going on, see what's going on with the cluster. He tells you guys, keep going. Raiden finds the last C4 trigger around the same time that Plissken does. You both call in. That is when you realize that the other C4 bombs were the trigger for the main cluster ones. So you then have to get to, I'm trying to think, he can disable them. Oh, wait, you know what? Okay, so you're right. These do go off in the struts,
yeah,
not the core, because he doesn't make it. Stillman doesn't make it. So because of that, one of the struts is blown up, but it doesn't do a ton of damage because they were able to prevent the one in shell 2 from blowing. So only one of the struts takes damage.
Yeah, Stillman doesn't make it because he realizes at the last moment that they're the trigger. The bomb, the other bombs are the trigger for the big bomb.
Yep, and it was a trap Fat Man wanted to get. He knew Stillman would come out. He wanted to get him trapped down in the room, and then he knew he was going to be able to kill his former mentor. So after you find the last bomb, dead, you get a call from the colonel that Dead Cell killed a civilian. You're like, what? They retaliated. So then you have another mini boss fight with Fortune. Oh, wait, did I screw that order up? I did screw that order up. So before, when I was talking about Fortune, that fight happens now after you return to the strut you started in and freeze the last bomb.
Oh, yeah.
Because at that point, I might have my notes out of order. So that might
have been because you have to, you're trying to go up to the top of the...
Yeah, because you're trying to get the Fat Man.
Yep.
So you, this is the one where you have to wait out. Vamp takes the bullet in the forehead, doesn't die, but you are going up to face Fat Man because Fat Man has another bomb somewhere, and you have 400 seconds to get up there and to face him. So, Fat Man, what did you think about Fat Man?
He's a very eccentric character.
He's literally a Fat Man.
Yep, in a giant bomb suit. On roller skates.
On roller skates, and he drinks wine,
yep.
Red wine.
Through a straw.
Through a straw.
I love it
so much.
That was another one of those instances where it was sort of a puzzle because you face him for the first couple times, and you know he has a pretty... It's a recognizable pattern. Like he puts bombs down, you freeze them, and then he goes around in circles and gets himself dizzy. And then falls down, and that's when you can shoot him, and it's okay. At some point, his HP level goes down far enough that he doesn't stop, and that was when I figured out that you had to shoot him in the roller skates so that he trips, and then you can shoot him again. But even that was hard because, again, going back to the controls, I have to press like 17 buttons at once to get into first person mode and shoot. Mm-hmm. So it was just luck of the draw if I actually hit him or not. Mm-hmm. And finally, I was able to, you know, a few times I was able to, and then I was able to kill him that way. But
that's actually funny to bring it up. So my strategy for that fight was you would so you had to freeze bombs.
Oh, no. I had found claymores at some point.
Yes.
And I laid claymores down where he like normally spun around.
Yeah.
I was able to do that a couple times too. But
I did use those quite a bit. That fight switches in between. You have to freeze bombs and you have like a minute to do it because I'll put like two or three up. And then you have like time to attack and shoot.
Yeah.
At a certain point, you just are attacking him. If you run into, he has sort of a path, it randomizes, but he always goes through about the same areas. There are certain times where he'll stop. You can punch or kick him there. If you hit him three times, it knocks him over, and then you can attack him on the ground.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
So I was doing that until I got claymores. I want to say I think I didn't trank him. I think I was just shooting him at this point. Yeah. Some enemies I tranked, because you can either do the trank or you can do the, you can just kill him. One interesting part, though, before I forget, he doesn't know about the ransom demands that were made.
That's right.
Of the organization, so he doesn't know what any of that's about.
He was basically just in Dead Cells so he could pull out Plissken. Or, sorry, not Plissken.
Stillman.
Stillman.
Yeah, that's all he cared about. He was a wild card.
Yep.
That's all he wanted to do. But yeah, so that's how I did the fight, which is punch and kick a lot. And I think I had to do it two times, but I got to the end of it. The claymores helped a lot.
Yeah, they definitely did.
So Plissken calls after the fight. He hasn't heard about the toxins either. Or he hasn't heard about the toxins part at all. So that whole environmental disaster thing, he doesn't know anything about it. This is where Raiden's starting to like question what he's been told.
What have been given, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of like unreliable narrator stuff with the colonel and the messages he's been getting. This is where Mr. X shows up as well. Mr. X is wearing the Gray Fox suit. So that's why they put it in the little pamphlet notes to make sure you knew about that. Mm. Gray Fox is the ninja. So you see Mr. X and you're like, wait, is this just Gray Fox again?
But he was supposed to be dead.
Yeah. Raiden has Rose look into Solid Snake. Rose reports back saying that the body they found was definitely dead, but the body was missing the right arm, but the DNA matches.
Mm.
This is Liquid's body.
Yep, and that's when you realize it's Liquid's body.
Yeah. Yep, because they have the same DNA, because they're clones.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a fun little deal. I did not pick up at all the first time, but this playthrough, I was like, oh, of course. It's Liquid.
I get it now.
Yeah. Well, who else would that be? You get... So after the bomb fight, you need to find the president. You're focusing on the president now. You get to the... What is it? The core. Mm-hmm. So your core, you have to sneak in using like another suit. You have to steal a suit from like
the Russian, the terrorist. Russian garb, terrorists, not Russian. Which
that was a little annoying because I had to do some backtracking to get to that. That one wasn't too bad. I had to do much worse backtracking later.
Yeah, there were definitely a lot of annoying moments just backtracking in this game.
Uh huh. But and falling off that bridge.
Yep.
So I got across the bridge the first time, but then subsequent times, we'll get to it. But
yeah.
There's that bridge to the central strut, and the floor panels drop out. And so every other time you have to go back, you have to deal with the perimeter, the drones?
Yeah. I can't remember what they're called.
Yeah, they have a different name, but it's the drones, and then you...
Cipher.
Yes, ciphers. That's it. The ciphers, and then you have to either hang over the edge, or you have to do like the shuffle walk where you're pressed up against the wall. And so it's a lot of chaff grenades.
Yep.
But oh my God, it was so annoying.
I think I ended up just shooting them down at one point.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck this. I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah. I just shoot them when I had a chance. Like if no one was watching. I would shoot. All right. So you get to where the hostages are. You get a directional mic because the president has a pacemaker. So you have to walk through.
The president's aide does aims.
So we're getting to that.
Oh yeah, sorry.
You think it's the president because the president has a pacemaker.
Oh,
I thought they just told you.
Yeah. You're going to aids.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
He's not there on that floor. You find out he's on another floor, and that's Colonel Ames. Colonel Ames was also sent by the Patriots / the Lalalulalo.
Yep.
He tells you that the president is more or less the login key to Metal Gear. So they need to keep the president alive to get Metal Gear going. And also there's a second, there's like a two key thing. There's a black case that you saw earlier that I believe the Vamp football. Has.
Yeah.
And that is the launch key. So you have the key and then the launch key.
Well, they're saying at the time they were saying the warheads. There's like talks of nuclear warheads being on the plant.
Right. Yeah. Right. So they just knew that they were warheads. They didn't know necessarily about... They knew about a Metal Gear.
Yeah.
But then there were also warheads. But I think later on you realize that the warheads are the Metal Gear.
Yeah.
Ames has an important story note.
Yeah, I don't know if this is like third story yet. This is story 3. I think this is still story 2.
So Ames doesn't know about the ransom. In fact, he says, I don't think there was ever a ransom. So that's another indication that the story that you got from the colonel is not true at all. That being said, he does reveal that the plan of terrorists is to use the nukes, detonate them in the upper atmosphere. This is not to kill anybody, but they want to detonate in the upper atmosphere and basically fry all the electronic devices, therefore ruining the economy.
Yep.
At this point, Ocelot shows up again. Ames's pacemaker goes haywire. He drops dead. So Raiden gets demasked because they're like, hey, Ocelot comes over. He's like, why are you talking to him?
Yeah.
And so he's like, who are you anyways? Takes off his mask. He's like, I don't know who this guy is, but we're going to kill him.
Yep.
Because I don't know what he's doing. Mr. X shows up again and saves Raiden. So he does cool ninja stuff, and then Raiden gets out of there.
Yep.
This is the part where I had to backtrack so much further.
Oh, yeah.
For that stupid sniper rifle.
Oh, I had to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that there is another strut you have to get out of, but it's wired in C4.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I was able to get almost all of them without needing the sniper rifle. Same. The one I had to get was the one on the cipher.
And that was so annoying.
Because
at the time I didn't realize that the, were they benzos or whatever they were?
Oh, the pentazamine.
Pentazamine, yeah, not benzos. Pentazamine would like cause you to not shake so much
yes.
when you were using the sniper rifle. And if I would have known that.
Yeah, they don't.
This would have made things a lot easier. Well, they didn't tell me until later.
Yeah.
Until a different sniper part.
Right.
Which we'll get to in a second.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, like you have to read the flavor text the whole way through, and even the end of it doesn't really, like, it sort of hints at, oh, you know, it helps you when you're.
Well, I think it doesn't
even. From shaking.
I think it doesn't even say that until it's revealed in that second sniper
part. Oh, really?
That it slows your, or it doesn't allow you to breathe, because I think it says uh-huh. something about, originally it said something about, like, calm down in tense moments or something
yes.
like that. It's,
okay.
it's like something that you're right, like hints at it, but is not, it's
right.
just, yeah, it was such a weird, yeah.
This is around the same time that Solidus shows up. So Solidus is the third clone of Big Boss.
Mm-hmm.
The last of the Les Enfants Terribles.
Terrible, yeah.
But yeah, Les Enfants Terribles, which is the three clones of Big Boss. So he is demanding that he gets called Solid Snake. In fact, he introduces himself as Solid
yep.
Snake first. And you're like, that's not Solid Snake.
Yeah. And then Plissken gets pissed.
Yes.
And that's when it's revealed.
He's like, you're not Snake.
Yep.
And this is the part where Solidus literally hulks up.
Yep.
Like his suit bulges muscles
yep.
out. And that's the Solidus boss fight. It's on that. It's on a different bridge, but he is riding on like a Harrier.
Yep, he's in a jet.
That Ocelot's piloting.
Yep.
So he's riding on top of it. Plissken is in the helicopter that Otacon is piloting. You don't know it's Otacon yet, but that's who it is.
Yeah.
He's piloting that. He will sort of drop in ammo for you, but he can't really help you fight Solidus. So you have like a rocket launcher, and you just have to sort of like, do you get a rocket launcher? Yeah, I think he
yeah,
gives
you
one.
Yep.
Okay. So you use a rocket launcher and you just have to take out Solidus. I do love the idea that you get attacked by the plane and you don't get that much damage
yeah.
taken away.
yeah.
Like a plane is clipping you
yep.
at a very high speed and you only lose like a chunk, like
yep.
a small chunk of
it's
your health.
It's literally hitting you on the nose.
Oh,
and,
yeah. Like smack dead in the face.
Yep.
And you just like, oh, I'm all right. You just flip over a little bit. That fight was really frustrating for me because I just had a hard time like getting a beat on him.
That one was okay for me. I think it was one of the easier ones for me for
yeah.
whatever reason.
I think a lot of the trouble I had with certain boss fights was definitely the PS2 controller.
Well, okay, yeah, that's understandable. My problem, the reason I probably took so long on most of the game was because of the controller.
Oh yeah,
or the controls. So. I can sympathize with that. But that one, at least, like that, what is that? That rocket launcher, you could at least home in.
The Stinger?
Yeah. Like, homed in on stuff, so that was nice. Or the Nikolai, whatever. Either.
Oh, the Nikita.
Nikita, yeah. One of them, like, homes in, so that was nice.
Yeah, the Nikita one is the one that you can fire, and then just as long as you follow the target, it will.
No,
oh,
that's not the one. The Stinger
no,
is the one that
the Stinger.
I'm thinking of.
Then. The Kita comes in later. So you defeat Solidus there. You know, it doesn't really go down. It just, like, there's like an engine that gets blown up.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just like, okay, well, I think I took care of him for now.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Ray surfaces for the first time. Oh, that's how this happened. Metal Gear Ray surfaces, catches the Harrier with Solidus and Ocelot
yeah, that's right.
in its mouth.
Yep.
At some point, Solidus has lost his left eye, which is the same eye the Big Boss loses later on. So he really is a lot like Big Boss. And I'm pretty sure it's the same eye that Solid loses by Metal Gear Solid 4. So Metal Gear Solid 4, he has like a weird eye patch kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if he loses his eye. No, he doesn't lose his eye. He wears that. He has like an octo camo thing in 4, and he wears the eye patch on the same
eye.
The other two lost.
But he doesn't wear the eye patch in the beginning of the game in the plant?
No,
or in the tanker?
He never wears an eye patch in this game.
Okay,
I
was just imagining that then.
Yeah, it's not a real eye patch in 4 either. It's just a camo thing. This is the part where Vamp also comes back and runs on the water.
Yep.
He runs across the water and runs up a strut. I wrote here, goofy as shit, I love this game.
Yep.
It's like Roadrunner levels of goofy.
Yep.
Oh, I love that part. Finally, they stop teasing Snake here. He's just like, yeah, I'm Solid Snake.
And during all of this, the Colonel, as you're calling into the Colonel, he's like, don't trust Plissken. He's not part of the simulation. Like,
yeah,
that's the
many times you're told he's not a part of the simulation. Don't worry about it. And like, Wright even says to him, he's a snake. He's the real snake. Yeah. This is Solid Snake here. He's like, don't believe him. It's like, it's not part of simulation. It doesn't factor into you. Don't worry about it.
Like, whatever. Yeah, what does that mean?
That's
weird.
Especially because if you played the first game, that's who Snake talked to. So you're like, why wouldn't he want Snake in the mission? He should know. So, quick breather on everything, just real quick. So, as you can tell, that's a lot of stuff.
Yep.
And the whole time, like, anytime you have to go in between stretch, you're still doing your sneaking loop. So, you're constantly doing the sneaking, tranking guards, things like that. I'm going to, once again, read my exact note. Fuck the Shell 2 Strut L platforming section.
Yep.
Oh, my God. So, after that fight, yeah, you have to... It's like a weird platforming section where you have to
crawl bombed out area of the...
Yes, to get over to Shell 2. That whole thing sucks because not only you have to like dangle your way out, drop down to a pipe. The pipe has bird shit on it, which you can slip and fall off on, which I did about take number 3.
Oh, geez.
You then have to get across, you climb up onto a platform. That platform has the panels that'll drop down, so you run past that. After you run past that, there are guards. And if you trigger the guards, they will kill you. One of the parts with the guards also has the drop down panels.
Yep.
So you have to like time it, drop down from the other side, hang, jump back up. That took me like 6 times.
Oh yeah.
Just to get through that.
Yeah,
part.
it was rough for sure.
I was losing my mind that night. I finally did it and the first thing I did was call Rose and save.
Yeah.
And then I skipped through. I skipped through a lot of the early Rose stuff cuz I knew it already.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to listen to you.
I don't want to listen to this again. Yeah.
All right. So in Shell 2, Olga's talking to you have your directional mic again. And you just listen to someone. It's Solidus. It's Solidus's voice. So they're sort of plotting together, and you're like, oh, that's weird. So maybe Olga is a part of Dead Cell. Not Dead Cell, because we still don't know if Solidus is a part of Dead Cell. That's the other faction we'll leave up, which is the Ocelot Revolver. The Ocelot Solidus
Olga
faction. They're sort of another group.
Yeah.
So this is when you're trying to get to the president. The president is behind a room with an electric floor. This is where you get the Nikita, which is the remote-controlled rocket.
Yeah.
This one, for some reason, it took me a little longer this time.
Yeah, it took me like 3 times. The first time, I basically did it.
Yeah.
And then something stupid happened, and I didn't get it. It didn't work, or I don't really remember what happened. And then I tried, like, 2 or 3 more times, and they failed immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 4th or 5th time, I got it. But
was it like the rocket will like weirdly boost at certain
points? Yeah, yep.
Oh, and then you just like, you're not rounding the corner fast enough.
Yeah.
And right into the thing.
Yep.
I also like that when you make it into the room, the people are like, what? And like run out of the way of the missile.
Yeah.
That part always made me laugh. So you get to That you destroy the panel in there, you can get into the room. That's where you finally meet President Johnson. One of the first things that President Johnson does is grab Raiden in the crotch.
Yep.
Because he did not realize Raiden was a man. This is weird. It probably did not age well.
Nope.
At all. It was super weird. It's like, what does that have to do with anything?
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
Why would you do that to someone you just met, you weird, weird dude?
Yeah, very. That was very strange.
This is one of the bigger exposition dumps in the whole game. I believe this cutscene alone is like somewhere 7 to 8 minutes.
Yeah, if not longer.
Yep.
So, and this begins story 3.
Yes. So this is where the Patriot, you find out that the Patriots are running the whole country. They're basically the Illuminati kind of deal. The president is just a figurehead, and that the Patriots make every decision that guides the direction of the country and has been since the time of George Washington. And there are 12 members. There are 12 heads of the Patriots. I'm reading my notes. I just say, strap in. This is where the roller coaster begins. So Johnson has sold himself out to the Patriots. He was using Metal Gear as a bargaining chip because he wanted to become a member of the Patriots. He wanted to join one of the 12 people. So he was there to visit Metal Gear and see its progress. And then, like, Solidus and them showed up and sort of threw the whole thing out of whack. But yeah, he sold out to the Patriots to become a member of the Patriots. But he realizes now with Solidus and Ocelot there, changing the entire plan, there's no point.
He was trying to go against the Patriots so that he could gain some power. And so that's why he joined with the terrorists to get the nukes.
This is Johnson?
Yeah.
I thought it was just he originally sold out to the Patriots. Oh, he originally sold out to become president. Then he was going around the back using Metal Gear as a bargaining chip to get into the Patriots.
Yeah.
That's what it was. But Solidus shows up. Solidus has always been very anti-Patriots. He doesn't want Solidus to get through. At this point, I think he also reveals that Solidus was technically George Sears in Metal Gear Solid 1. Is that true? Okay. So he was the president.
He was the leader of Dead Cell.
Yes.
And then becomes...
Right, so
he was the former president.
So Solidus is an ex-president.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Ocelot helps Solidus hide after the events of Metal Gear Solid 1, so that's why those two have a weird relationship, and that's something else that President Johnson reveals. He also reveals that Metal Gear Ray is not the only Metal Gear at Big Shell. There is a much bigger one called Arsenal Gear, and that Arsenal Gear is being guarded by all of the other Rays. So you have a bunch of Metal Gear Rays guarding a much bigger Metal Gear. That at that point I was like, I'm struggling to hang on, but I still sort of have the thread. It's like, all right, there's another group. There's the shadowy figureheads over here. That's the big
group.
Who are
really pulling the strings.
Really pulling
the strings. But are they really the bad guys at this moment?
We don't know.
Yeah, right. At this point, I put bad guys equals ... on our in our story because are they? Is it Solidus?
That's
a lot, is it? Anybody?
That is another big thing. It's just like who you are fighting or who you're actually going after changes.
It's fluid.
Multiple times. Like, you don't know who the bad guy is up until maybe the last fight. And even then, that's kind of a gray area. Solidus wants to nuke the outer atmosphere and destroy all the electronics for in the economy. He's the one that wants to do that.
Solidus wants to do that to release the stranglehold of the Patriots.
I think he also calls the outer atmosphere outer heaven because, of course, they have to throw that in there and confuse everything. Because Raiden goes, outer heaven. And I was like, all right, don't even... Like, I know we have to keep bringing outer heaven into it to wrap everything up, but at that point, I was getting way confused. Just say the atmosphere.
Yep.
Not everything has to tie in everything. You then need to find Emma Emmerich. Or EE, who is Hal's sister. So Hal used to be a former Metal Gear developer.
And if you're following along at home, Hal is Otacon.
Hal is Otacon.
Just to make sure.
Yeah. I'm going to have to like make a list somewhere of this person equals this person. So you need to find Emma. Emma's also there. She's trapped in another room because they have her there because she's the lead programmer for Arsenal Gear. So Hal helped develop Metal Gear Rex. Emma has developed Arsenal Gear, the real, real big one.
The real, real big one.
So Ocelot shows up, but at this point, the president's like, you need to kill me. You need to kill me. If you kill me, they're not going to be able to get Metal Gear going.
Yeah.
And you're like, what are you talking about? So as he's like, you're grappling with him over your gun, Ocelot just comes in and shoots him.
Yep.
He's like, we don't need you anymore. What are you talking about?
See ya.
Yeah. I don't know what that part's about. I think it's just because they got through the last check. And they're like, because it's like every couple of minutes you have to do the check. So like, we're going to get going now.
Yeah.
So screw you.
Yeah, I think it was every hour they needed to, it was checked to make sure that he was still alive.
Right. It was, it was once on the hour. So you call back, Raiden calls back in to Snake.
Raiden.
It's pretty good.
Right.
He calls back into Snake, and you find out that Snake and Otacon, of course, knew about Arsenal Gear, which is why they were there the whole time. He's like, well, why didn't you tell me? He's like, well, you never asked.
Yeah. That was essentially the way to get through that.
Yep. They explain why they were on the tanker in the first part of the game. Vamp comes back because you're making your way out, because at this point, your goal is now find Emma.
Yep.
So Vamp comes back, and this is the Vamp fight, which is... it's wild.
Yep.
This fight. Because there's like a room where there's water in the middle. There's like walkways. There's a square walkway around it. And then there's an upper level where he can sometimes jump up to and attack you from. The water in the middle has a lot of like air through it. So
it's filled with nano machines, I think. It's like so dense.
Oh,
it's
is
like
that what they
dense.
Said?
Yeah, I think yeah. That's what it is. I don't know why the nano machines are there, but they're like the fluid is hyper dense. So if you fall into it,
you're dead.
You drown. Yeah.
He, however, as we saw from earlier, can just float on water.
Yeah, he can do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah,
because
he's a vampire and the rules don't apply. So this fight says, there's 20 minutes of exposition first about Arsenal and just bombs in general.
Yep.
None of it is anything you don't already know, but they feel the need to just get real deep on terminology.
Yep.
It's not great. This fight, I learned a trick or two. So I think Vamp will shoot these things at you from the top. They're like knives or blades.
Yeah.
But I guess they can pin your shadow down and they can prevent you from moving, right?
Yep.
Okay. So the trick I learned, you just shoot all the lights out.
Oh.
And then when you get attacked, you can still keep moving.
Interesting.
Yep. So I would. So first thing I did was shoot all the lights out, and then every time I got hit with a blade, I could just keep running around.
Yeah, that's
good.
Another
one of those little details.
Right. That's good.
Yeah, because of course, no light, no shadow.
Yeah,
can't pin you down. The first time I did this, this is where I remember I stopped for a night because I was like, this is pissing me off.
Yeah, I definitely did it a few times.
Yeah, I think I tried like two times and I just could not get past him. Like,
there was at least one time, if not two, where I needed to hit him like one more time and I just fell into the...
Yes.
I fell into the water and it just pissed me off so much.
Yeah, I got pretty close in a fight and then did the same thing. I mean, you gotta be kidding me.
Well, especially because the way the top down works, like you can't just immediately spin. You can't spin on a dime.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, if you're turning, like if he's looking left and you want to go right, he has to go around in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't thinking about that. And in doing that, it would turn. And before I knew it, I'd fallen into the water. Like, so annoying.
Yeah. The thing that finally clicked for me, I came back the next day. I got a grenade launcher at one point.
That's what I did. Yeah, I just used the grenade launcher.
So I would launch the grenades when he's underwater. So he'll swim a little bit too and pop back up. When he's in the water, you can throw either real grenades or the RGB grenades in there. So I would toss those in. That would make him have to surface faster. Then you could attack him when he's up on the railing. You can just shoot him. But then when he drops down and was like trying to like get near you and attack you, if you just lob bombs at him, then he just takes damage.
Yeah.
And I just did a combination of that, and I did it like the first try the next time.
Yeah, that was I knew that when he came out of the water, he always landed in the same spot. So I just waited, shot him there, at least got one hit in. Sometimes he would jump back into the water.
Yeah.
And then he would just do the same thing. So it was like two easy hits in. Mm-hmm. And then toward the end, he just doesn't go back into the water. So you have to just, and he's running around really fast. So you have to just hope for the best.
Yeah. So that, yeah, I got it after all that clicked together. And I was like, all right, yeah, let's screw you, Vamp.
This was like finally when I was starting to get used to the controls. So I was able to like quickly like press all the buttons I needed to and get to it, but it was still just a pain in the ass.
He's finally reached your Metal Gear Zen.
Yeah. The Nirvana.
Yep. I have achieved
Metal Gear Solid.
I have achieved Nirvana. I am all of Metal Gear.
Yep.
I am solid. Solid is me.
Yep.
Oh, so after you defeat Vamp, hopefully for the last time, even I can't remember at this point. I have to get through my notes. You have to swim through the flooded parts of that strut to get to Emma. Otacon likes to remind you that Emma is afraid of water because there was an incident when she was younger and she was in a pool and she drowned. Or she almost drowned. Yeah, that's right. The dad drowned.
His stepdad.
Yeah, his stepdad.
No, sorry, his real dad, her stepdad.
Right, all right, because, yeah, it's her mom.
Yep.
Right, okay, yep. This is important.
And we'll get to that.
Yeah, it's an important distinction.
Yep.
Real quick, Emma here is voiced by Jennifer Hale. I don't know if you know that name or not.
That sounds familiar.
So her most famous role is she was Femme Shep in Mass Effect series. So she is all the female Shepherds. She was Ashe in Overwatch, and according to her IMDb, has basically been in every video game ever created until now and in the end of time.
Oh, okay.
Like, so many credits. So she's, like, a hugely prolific voice actress.
Interesting.
It's weird to go back and hear her here.
Yeah.
Because I had, like, I didn't know who she was then, but now knowing who she is, it's just, it cracks me up hearing all the shit that Emma has to say later. In her, like, knowing it's her. Like, God, I would have loved to have seen her read that script for the first time.
Yep. Quick note on controls here.
Yes.
When you're swimming through,
oh, buddy.
It was so annoying because that's one of those instances where an inverted control scheme makes sense because it's the same thing as flying.
Yep. You want a flight stick control.
Exactly, because you're, at that point, you're essentially pushing down on the things that need to be depressed, right? So if you're on a plane, if you're thinking about a plane, that's why inverted controls make sense on a plane, because you're essentially looking at the plane and pressing down on the parts that you want to, you know, to move down.
To move you up, up to move you down.
Well, not even thinking about it that way, but just like if you press the thumbstick forward, that's essentially you pressing on the nose of the plane.
Right.
And so it's going down.
Okay.
And if you push back, it's pushing down on the back.
Right.
And then left and right, same thing.
Makes
sense. And so as you're swimming, it's the same thing. You're, you know, the air of the sea, right? It's just the water. But,
So what did they do here?
So they don't do that.
No.
And it confused the shit out of me every single time. Like, even to the point, I mean, I'd been playing that section for, I don't know, 15 minutes, and I still was doing it incorrectly every time.
Yeah. No, I knew that
I'd
going
waste
in.
So much time, yeah.
That up is up, down is down. But when you're in the water, you're like, no, every other game does it.
Yep.
You know, it inverts the Y axis. Doesn't do it here. The worst part for that is that part when you're swimming through and there's like a bunch of like metal cagey shit. Like,
yep.
Oh my God.
Well, I was going to say that and the little like mines that float around.
Yeah.
I would
what
always,
are the mines there
I would
for?
Always think, oh yeah, I got to press forward to go down. I'll go underneath them. It's fine. Nope. I would always swim directly into them because I would just kept pressing the wrong. It was the wrong controls every time.
So you eventually make it to Emma. And Emma is like, yeah, I don't want to go through the water. I almost drowned.
Hold on, we got to talk first about you first meet her and she pees her pants for some reason.
Okay, that didn't happen in mine.
Are you serious?
I'm not kidding. There was nothing, unless I was not paying attention, I don't recall any part of that where she peed herself.
You open the locker and she's like, you like make eye contact with her or whatever and she just pees herself. And I was like, why did this have to happen?
Yeah.
Like, I get that you're afraid, but you don't need... That doesn't need to happen.
I think I need to check that scene again. I have it recorded. Maybe she does pee herself, but I don't remember, at least when I played through it this time, I don't remember that happening. I could be wrong.
I was just like, I mean, and you see like a little puddle come out and stuff. You're just, I'm just like, this isn't...
Okay. I do remember...
That's not necessary.
I do remember it happening. Yeah. I've seen it happen before, and yeah, that's completely unnecessary. I'll say this. I'm watching footage of Metal Gear Solid 4.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy whose entire character is he has diarrhea all the time. So that is just clearly a funny thing for the people. Like, I don't want to say just Kojima, because other people help him write this game, but clearly they think that shit's really hilarious.
Yeah, it's just like...
I mean, if Norman Reedus can pee in Death Stranding...
Yeah, that's fair. And but I just, like...
Well, I'm saying it's, like, clearly he's got a thing for this
thing. Oh, yeah. I just, like, for how... And, I mean, we'll get to it by the end here, but just, like, for how... Like, groundbreaking and, like, thought-provoking, philosophical, whatever you want to call...
Yeah, it gets...
Even, like, predictive, this, yes. this storyline
is. Oh, my God, it's scary.
yeah. Why did you have to put something like that in there?
Yeah, like, why do you need the pee joke?
Yeah.
You know?
Why do you need the pee joke or the jerking off joke or, like, whatever? Like, it's not necessary. Like, I'm not getting this game for the comedy aspect.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. I appreciate those moments. Not those moments. Like, I don't need, like, peeing themselves and shitting themselves in later game. Like, I appreciate the weird shit that sort of has levity to it, but I think the timing of them.
Yeah, I think maybe that's it, yeah.
I appreciate those moments whenever it's, like, you're just going through a gameplay loop and not a lot of stories happening, and then you just run into, like, there's that guard that has the headphones on.
Yep.
And he's, like, bobbing his head or whatever. Like, I love dumb shit like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't need, like, her peeing herself. That's not funny.
Yep, I'm with you. We're on the same page there.
Yes. So, there's step brother, step sister. Like we mentioned before, she wears glasses because of Otacon.
Yep.
She doesn't say it originally, but come on, we all know. There's some bitterness about Otacon because he left her and her mom after the dad died.
Yeah.
There's more on that in a minute. This is the part where the story gets weirdly predictive and scary because the Patriots were worried about the flow of free information. This is everything that Emma tells you. Patriots were worried about the flow of free information, and they wanted to control a way the information is distributed to the public and what is censored and what isn't. That part alone, you're like, wow, 2020, here we go.
Alternative facts and fake news. And
yeah, you're like, wow.
And social media and everything. Yeah,
this only took them 19 years to be right on that one.
Yep.
So they keep mentioning GW. GW is the name of the virus?
It's the AI.
Sorry. Yes. That and the AI is inside of Arsenal gear. And of course, the whole thing about AI also rang true in 2020. And here's another note that I wrote to read. This is where the game is mirroring the present day in ways that completely terrify me.
Yep. Yeah.
It's like, damn, he nailed it.
Yep. GW, I believe in the end standing for George Washington.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you're
not
right.
George W.
Yeah. And I have to keep reminding myself that GW is, of course, just Alexa. Although this came out when he got elected. Fair.
Yeah, it's true. Yep. Yeah, so that was another thing that I was thinking. Yeah, if there was some illusion there. Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past them. Ton of exposition. That's the important
part
of it.
And, like, for a long time, like, they were considering... Well, not considering, but, like, you know, there's the whole, like, it's really just a puppet presidency and, like, I don't know, all that kind of stuff. Like, there's... Yeah.
Which Johnson kind of alludes to, but Emma confirms.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
All that fun stuff. Exposition. You need to get Emma to the oil fence to get her to Arsenal gear where she can, you know, stop it. Before all that, there's, like, a weird scene where, like, when she talks about her glasses and, like, Raiden calls her cute and she's like, oh, I'm cute, am I? And then you get a call from Rose and like, oh, you're getting pretty buddy-buddy with Emma, huh? You're like, why? Why now?
Yeah, God, this just, it's bad.
All right, when I hit that part again, I was like, I skipped through it because I'm like, no, not now.
Especially well, that, I mean, even just Raiden being like, I don't know, like the... the stupid, like, come-ons. I don't know, it was gross to me. But anyway.
Yeah, that part, I didn't like that.
Yeah,
I didn't like that either, Tim. Yeah. I was like, why you gotta...
Yeah, what is happening?
Like, dude, you're listening to your longtime girlfriend bitch at you over the, the codec all the time. Why would you do that when she can hear you in her nano communications? Yeah.
Which, brief sidebar, the nano communications are a way for them to not have to talk, right?
Yes.
It's just, it's like a neural...
Exactly.
Communication. Okay.
That took me a while to get to.
Yeah. Whenever they, because they kept saying, like, let's not talk here. Yeah.
They would tap on their neck.
And like, I also liked it for whatever stupid reason, you could, with both the thumbsticks, control, like, move people or move the faces around in the codec.
Did you find the other fun Easter egg in that?
I don't know.
So I think on the Xbox version, if you hit the bumpers and the triggers while other people are talking, you get like Raiden's internal thoughts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So like later on at the end of the game, you'll be like, that's ridiculous.
Oh, man.
Or like, what? Or it's like, where was one he said like three times about Rose? It was just like, yeah, baby, I'm going to come home to you. So it wasn't like that, but I can't remember what it was. But it was something like that. And he said three times in a row. I'm like, you're such a fucking dork.
Yeah. Oh, God. Anyway.
That's a lot of fun. I highly recommend going back. You can do it from the beginning of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody is talking that's not you, just hit those bumpers. And you get, I think it's just the two, like the bumper and the trigger.
Okay.
But you get different thoughts. It's like real fun.
Yeah, that's cool.
You get Emma out. You swim her out. You convince her that you're not going to drown. I'm going to help you.
Yeah.
And you get her to the oil fence, and this is a sniper rifle mission. So you get the sniper rifle, I believe, this time. And this is also, like, I don't know if you got the thermal goggles at all. Okay. So, yeah, I got the thermal goggles earlier in the game. This helps a lot for this part because you can scope around the area and take out stuff. After, I think, she has to cross, like, three bridges. After the second bridge, I believe Snake will call in and be like, hey, I can help you out now. So I just immediately call
him. Yep, I did too. And then he just did the rest of the work for
me. Yeah, you just have to line it up in your vision. He just takes it out in three shots every time.
Especially because, again, the controls and that the sniper rifle just jumping around everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It was annoying.
Yeah, I think I was running out of pentazamine, but they would, same. If you went out of first person view, they always had more ammo in that there.
Yeah,
so you could always, you always get more of that. Wasn't too bad. Like, Emma will slip here and there, and then you just like, oh, great, of course.
Yeah.
So you got to keep an eye out for the ciphers and things like that. At the end of the third bridge, Vamp shows back up. So, I forgot he's not dead yet again. You have to snipe him while she is being held by Vamp. So you have to shoot him in the head one more time. As you shoot him and he goes down, you realize that Emma's been stabbed in the gut, or maybe the back.
I can't remember.
But she gets stabbed by Vamp because she starts bleeding through her shirt. You have this whole scene where you get Emma over, you get across. Emma is in Otacon's arms as they're uploading the virus.
Yep.
Oh, this scene.
Yep.
This scene is ridiculous. So they're uploading the virus. This is Snake and Raiden. But Otacon and Emma have their moment here where Otacon reveals that the whole reason he left after the dad died is that he was having an affair with Emma's mom.
Yep.
And that the dad, his dad, killed himself when he found out about it. Right?
He never knew, but when he was drowning, Otacon didn't go help because he thought it would be, because he didn't want to help him because he wanted to have her mom all to himself.
He could have killed.
Now that I'm saying all that, I think you're right. I think
because there's a line in there about how he knew, and that there was a line in there about suicide.
Okay,
so I think he drowned himself because he knew that.
Yeah, I think
that
right.
Hal was having an affair with his current wife.
Yeah.
You find out about that sort of like Emma, I guess. I don't know if she forgives him, but it's just sort of just like because I think he explains all that after she does die.
Yeah, I don't think that happens because she
for that.
No, because before she dies, they profess their love for each other.
Yeah. So, oh, like, I missed you.
Like, legit love.
Oh, yeah. It's...
She is in love with him.
Right.
Because she wanted... Yeah, she was, like, obsessed with him.
Right, and it's not...
And wanted them to, like, run away together.
It's the step-sister-step-brother thing that kind of...
Yep. Yep.
That it's still That's weird.
The stuff that porn's made of.
Yep.
And just it's, weird. Like,
it's so goofy.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I forgot that she like legit had crush on him, and he was too busy with the mom.
Yep.
To bother with
too busy
that.
Bumping and grinding with mom.
That's right.
With stepmom.
Oh yeah. And so I think after she dies, he does the whole exposition dump.
Yeah.
Otacon cries. So fucking weirdly.
Yep. Yep. That's pretty much it.
Not gonna lie. I'm not planning on doing it that well.
But it was pretty spot on.
That's like dead on with the game.
Yep.
Damn, I'll never be able to do that again. A long list of one-time impressions. Snake! 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 Otacon also cries like 3 times in this part. Because he cries the first time she dies, after the exposition dump, and then after the Burks. They're in the room with the bird.
Yep.
Which earlier in the game, you just see like a... Is it a parakeet? Or a parrot?
It's a... Yeah, it's some sort of...
It's a parrot. It's the one that talks.
It's the parakeet. Yeah, it's the mimic. A parrot.
And like the parrot starts like saying like, Hal, Hal, I missed you, Hal. Hal, I miss you. And then that's, yeah, you. There's like that whole dramatic slow-mo scene where he drops the bird and falls to his knees and does, again.
It's ridiculous.
That's the peak soap opera, I think, of this whole thing. I think the entire, that could be story 4 is Otacon and Emma.
This is side story.
Yeah, we'll call that like, yeah, that's a side story. So, is this the part, so it's after this that I think Snake does the fake deceit to Raiden? Because Olga doesn't show up yet. Mr. X shows up. And Mr. X and Snake are there, as doing his whole, I think we're done with you here now that we got Emma or whatever, we got the virus. I was like, wait, I thought we were on the same side. He's like, I don't remember Colin being on the same side at all. And so, Mr. X... knocks out with the like electric blade. It's sort of like a stun gun kind of thing, but it's like a sword. Is that the part where we get the reveal of Mr. X? Yes. Mr. X is Olga.
Yeah.
So Mr. X is not a mister. Raiden is knocked out and is awoken by Solidus. Is this the part where he's chained up? I think this is the part where he's chained up.
Yeah, he is.
Yes.
And so, he's nude.
Yes.
In the buff.
Naked Raiden. So he's chained up. Solidus and Ocelot are in the room, and you finally get Raiden's true backstory. So Raiden was not really, I mean, he might have done VR missions, but the reason he's such an efficient soldier is because he was actually a child soldier.
Yeah, is this story 4?
This is story 4. Story 4 now is Raiden. Raiden and Solidus. So Raiden was a child soldier and a very, very good one at that. I guess I don't want to say good because that makes it sound gross in a way that I don't like. He was a very effective soldier. He earned nicknames like, what was the first one? It's something like the White Devil or something. I don't remember. Yeah, and then he was also called Jack the Ripper. Solidus is sort of the adoptive godparent of Raiden. So he don't want to say he taught him everything he knew, sort of much that he brainwashed Raiden into being the soldier that he is now. After they leave the room, Olga comes in the room. That's when you learn that she's actually a double agent within that group. She's only there because the Patriots sent her. And the Patriots have her child held hostage from... because she was pregnant when we were back on the tanker. The day that she gave birth to her child, she was in a hospital run by the Patriots, which she found out later. And they took her child immediately from her, and she's never actually seen her child. So she is, as long as Raiden is alive, her child stays alive.
Yep.
And which is a point that she brings up a couple of times. So she tells you that she's going to get you out, but I have to leave the room first. And where you're going to go meet up with Snake. Snake has all your gear, even though you're naked. You just have to get through the hangar. And you'll get your gear back. This brings up, this is the beginning of my favorite sequence in this entire game.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. Not the naked part, but I love what happens during the naked part.
Yeah.
So yeah, you get locked out. Immediately, the best animation in the whole game, which is Raiden running around covering up his junk.
Yep.
Did you do the jump while you were?
I think so. Like the cartwheel?
Yeah, he'll do the cartwheel and keep his hands on his privates the whole time. Yep. It's so good.
Yep.
I love it.
Yeah, because I was like, are they going to, how did they do all of this? Yep. And yeah, so.
There's a lot of like.
Worked out.
It's a lot of really dumb like vision gags where they're always, someone's head's always blocking his junk out in the cutscenes.
Yeah.
So you have to sneak your way through the hangar first. And at this point, things start getting real weird.
Mm-hmm.
You get a call from the colonel. And he's like distorted and glitching out, and his voice, the tone in his voice changes a lot. It's very monotone.
And like the picture, the picture in the codec is sometimes like his face is sort of translucent. You can see the skull underneath.
Yeah.
And everything. Like it's pretty wild.
Oh, it freaked me the hell out.
Yep.
The first time I
sometimes
played.
His like it's like the back of his head you're looking at. Sometimes it's like really low on the ground, or it's like looking up in a weird angle.
Yeah, they start playing with, because you're used to seeing him from one angle the whole time, but then they start playing with the multiple camera angles in the codec.
And sometimes they like break the fourth wall and they're like, you're playing this game too much. You should turn off this game.
Yeah.
Or like whatever.
So after you get through the hangar, you get a couple of bonus calls and they're like, yeah, this is a type of role playing game after all. You're like, what is going on?
Yep.
Raiden, turn the game console off right now.
What did you say?
The mission is a failure. Cut the power right now.
What's wrong with you?
Don't worry. It's a game. It's a game just like usual.
You'll ruin your eyes playing so close to the TV.
What are you talking about?
Raiden, something happened to me last Thursday when I was driving home. I had a couple of miles to go. I looked up and saw a glowing orange object in the sky, to the east. It was moving very irregularly. Suddenly, there was intense light all around me, and when I came to, I was home. What do you think happened to me?
Huh?
Fine. Forget it.
There's an entire sequence where you have to run around in the ascending colon.
Yep.
Which I love that, like...
Yeah, they're all... I mean, you're in the... You get to the rectum
in
the end.
You're
so.
Fighting the pooper.
Yep, fighting in the pooper
of Arsenal gear.
Arsenal, yeah.
It's so stupid. Well, you're in the ascending colon, which is just a long hallway. You get auxiliary calls. So you don't have to take them, but I took every single one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Because the colonel is just... Like, he's freaking out. You're getting all this weird stuff.
You're
like
getting, like, old original Metal Gear footage.
Yes.
You're getting all kinds of stuff.
You get the MSX footage. He's talking about, like, Outer Heaven. He's talking about the events of original Metal Gear. Then he'll just, like, start... Like, there's, like, one where he calls in. He's like, I'm sorry to bring this up, but the other day I saw a man leaving Rose's house.
Yeah.
She looked very happy. Sorry, I don't know why I brought this up. I shouldn't have brought it up now. Sorry. Hangs up.
Yeah, very weird. And then there's one where he's just like listing off
names.
It's names or something. Yeah, but it's like very quick. It's very creepy. Like this.
Yeah. They're all Japanese names, I think.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
But it's rapid fire. Like,
yep.
I can't do it. Yeah, but yeah, it's super creepy. Like, what is happening?
Yep.
So you get a bunch of calls from him. And finally, the one you get at the end is from Rose. Do we have a Rose storyline in here? Because that
we
might
don't.
Be.
We should.
That's story five.
No. Well this is
maybe at 4.5 because it's still
overarching is Rose.
So the Rose story probably peaks here, where you find out that she's been a spy for the Patriots from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So their entire relationship is predicated on the fact that the Patriots sent her in to keep an eye on Raiden. And everything about her has been tuned to Raiden's specific likes. Her hair color, her nail color, her interests, everything about her mm-hmm. is geared towards Raiden. And of course, like every movie like that, where they're just like, dude, we didn't mean to start out this way, but I fell in love with you. But I don't, you haven't seen the real me at all. And you're like, what is happening yeah. here? And it's like real straightforward, very soap opera-y. At the end, she's about to tell Raiden that she's pregnant, but that's when her feed glitches out and gets like real slow. You're like, whoa, I'm pregnant. And you're like, what?
Oh, yeah. I guess just part of, because her story just like builds with each new revelation about like these characters in here too. Mm-hmm. So like whenever you find out that Raiden was a child soldier, like then Raiden confesses like, that's why I never brought you in like farther into my life because mm-hmm. I was a child soldier. That's why there was nothing in my room because like I basically didn't have a childhood. There was like nothing
right.
like pictures or anything like that.
That happens. But yeah, that happens during the whole Rose reveal.
Yeah.
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 I forgot about that part too.
Yeah. Cause there's like a weird, like I was spying on you. You still didn't let me in. Yeah. That's why, like that, yeah. that story to me is sort of unbelievable. Like,
uh-huh.
like, yeah, I was a spy the whole time. And
I still don't
like,
know who you are.
I had to be a bad person. Like, I had to change myself for you, but like mm-hmm. he didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
It's not like he made you do that. And then like he's supposed to get mad because he didn't have anything in his room and he like didn't want to divulge yeah. that he was a child soldier or that was like buried in his mind.
Yeah,
or
like
in
he's
his memory.
Dealing with PTSD from all that.
Yeah. And it's bad that like he couldn't do that.
Not to mention if she's really from the Patriots, she would have all the information about Raiden in the first
place.
Yeah,
right. Place. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, like, we'll get to that.
Yeah. So you meet up with Snake, and I believe this is when Otacon says, hey, that feed you're getting from the Colonel is coming from inside of Arsenal gear. And so that's when you find out that the reason they're glitching is because you're really talking to GW the whole time. You like both Rose and the Colonel are the AI.
And the virus, which I think we kind of glossed over this, but mm-hmm. it looked like the virus didn't take.
Right. It only got to 90%, and then there was a software override
yeah.
in Arsenal gear that stopped it from going 100%. But the virus did enough that it was messing with the AI,
yeah.
Colonel and Rose, which is why the faces were glitching out, and you got all that weird calls. You then have Fortune reappear after... There's a fight sequence where Raiden and Snake sort of team up and just sort of take out, like, a wave of bad dudes. You get the sword at this point, too, which I want to talk about that sword. I don't know about the 360 stick. I feel like it's probably a lot better, and I think I remember it being better. But that freaking sword control on that DualShock 2 controller fucking sucks.
Yeah.
It does not feel good. It's slow as hell.
I mean, it was bad,
mm-hmm.
but I essentially just started doing whatever, up and down, left, right, whatever, and it was sort of fine. But yeah, it was
rough. I stopped using it until I absolutely had to later on, but it's terrible. It feels so slow and chunky in a way that, like, when they did Metal Gear Rising... Way, way better. Fast, fluid. That's how sword fighting should be. Fortune reappears. Fortune shows up just to fight with Snake. So it's a reason for you to split off from Snake. So you go on ahead.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
To run into Solidus.
Yeah.
You get in there. Solidus is talking. You're on like a weird platform and you can't. It's like hazy. It's like a circular platform. He's talking on some sort of loudspeaker. And he reveals that the S3 plan that the Patriots had is called Solid Snake Simulation. It was a way to design the ultimate soldier in the image of Solid Snake after he died.
Mm-hmm.
This leads into the Metal Gear Rays fight. You have to fight a bunch of Metal Gear Rays because Solidus is done with you. It's like, I'm taking Arsenal gear. I'm gonna nuke the outer atmosphere and destroy the economy and destroy everything that the Patriots want. The Metal Gear Rays fight. You had texted me this early. I just got to fuck that Rays fight.
Yeah.
And I did not... The first time I went through, I thought, oh, this isn't bad. I got kind of far along and I died, and then I subsequently did about eight more of these fights, and I realized, oh, this fucking sucks.
Yeah, it was definitely a matter of getting into the pattern and, like, just trying to shoot as many rockets as you could at them.
Mm-hmm.
My strategy ended up being shooting one at the one that was on the platform, and then also shooting ones at the sides
right.
while that one was damaged, so that you could at least start to damage the other two.
Did you know about shooting them in the knee and then shooting them in the face? Okay.
To do more damage.
Right. Yeah, because when they open up, they're weird. They're sort of like metal birds.
Yeah.
They're very bird-like because they even like screech like birds.
It's like Demogorgon-esque almost.
Yeah. They would be the ones in the background. There's always three on screen. One's in the background of firing off rockets. The one near you will fire off like two rockets from its knee that you can dodge. Or it would also just sort of like, if it would stomp you if you got too close, or it would just like shoot a machine gun from its weird bird wing thing. It took me, that night I did it, I failed 8 times. The next day I came back, first try.
Oh yeah.
First try I got it. It's like, son of a bitch. I didn't even need a ration.
Oh wow.
Yeah, like I was in the zone and I just got through it. That fight is incredibly frustrating unless you just happen to get into the zone of like knee face.
Yep.
Occasionally like off the platform one, knee face.
That's exactly what I did.
And I think you have to, I don't know if there's a specific number you have to get through, but you have to survive long enough for like the next cutscene to take over.
Yeah, I probably killed 8 of them.
Yeah, I think I got
seven or eight. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what happens directly after that. Is that when the virus, you find out the virus more or less stops Solidus?
Yeah.
I think that's what happens. I know Olga, so I have that Olga shows up again trying to protect Raiden.
Yep.
She is killed because she's more worried about Raiden staying alive because if Raiden's alive, her child stays alive.
Yep.
Right, okay. The virus does corrupt Arsenal Gear GW beyond repair.
Yep.
So, Arsenal gear can't be used as a nuke now. It is, however, a big old ship in the river, which becomes important very soon.
I don't know if we said at some point the main reason for the plant was not to clean up anything.
Yes.
Or is that coming up?
No. We should mention that.
Yeah, so the reason for the plant was not to clean up the oil spill of the tanker or whatever. It's really hiding Arsenal gear.
Yes. The president was not there to check on the strut. He was there to see how Arsenal gear was coming along.
Right.
That's what it was there for. It's a
right.
big cover. Arsenal gear just lives underneath the tank, underneath the plant.
Which was where the tanker sank, essentially.
Yes. Corrupts the AI beyond repair. This pisses Solidus off. This pisses him off because turns out he didn't really care about the nuke part. The thing he wanted above anything else was the list of the Patriots.
List of the names of
the
Patriots.
He wanted 12 members of the Patriots, and it was inside of the AI of Arsenal gear. Ocelot comes back again. Ocelot starts, well, he's there beside Solidus the whole time, but then he was like, I love it when a plan comes together. Or I love when everyone's playing their roles. And you're like, oh, great. Here we go.
Yep.
Yet another plot twist.
Yep. Here comes story 6, I think.
Yep. Yeah, this is story 6. Ocelot's been working for the Patriots the whole time.
Yep.
Everything you've done here has been scripted. A little exercise set up by us. Exercise? The S3 plan was conceived as a means to produce soldiers on par with Solid Snake. That's what I told you. But the VR training the boy was put through is not the meat of the project. You think this little terrorist incident is your own doing, Solidus? This is the S3 training kernel. An orchestrated recreation of Shadow Moses.
What?
Ocelot reveals that the S3 plan is really the entirety of the events, including Dead Cell showing up, taking over the plant, having Raiden and Snake come in. That is what S3 was. And that the entirety of this terrorist event mimics almost everything from the original Metal Gear Solid. Everyone involved in this plan was chosen because they're either directly tied to someone in Metal Gear Solid 1 or the events of Shadow Moses, or they are close enough approximations. Mm-hmm. Like Olga being Mr. X, also it's Gray Fox. So yeah. Olga is Gray Fox from Metal Gear Solid 1. Their storylines play out almost exactly the same. Raiden is just Snake. Solidus is the proxy for Big Boss, which works out because he looks like Big Boss, and Ocelot says that at one point to him.
Yep.
So that only makes me want to play Metal Gear Solid 1 even more.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I need to see how that played out. Ocelot reveals that the virus that was installed had already wiped out the list of the Patriots. So before any of the things that Solidus did went into play, he was already screwed.
Yep.
Because the list is gone. Fortune shows up here again after the Snake fight. So they're both alive. Nobody died in that fight. But Fortune shows up. It's revealed there because Ocelot's like, oh, it's a Patriot statement. It's like, you can die anytime we want you to. You don't have anything we didn't give you. She's like, what are you talking about? And Ocelot shoots her, like, in the chest. He's like, see? It's like, you're not invincible. We just had stuff. I don't know if it was, like, nanomachines or shit.
Some sort of, like, weird device that they had put on her.
Like an electromagnetic field kind of thing.
It was to bend bullets.
Not quite midichlorians in the bloodstream levels of weird, but it's approaching it. She does have a moment, though. So I guess her heart's on the opposite side of her body, so that's why the shooting in the chest didn't immediately kill her.
Yeah.
But she does have a moment where they're about to drop a bunch of nukes.
But I do like that scene where was it Ocelot? He was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Your heart's on the other side. It was
your
like,
heart's on the right side.
Okay, was that necessary? I don't know.
It's not. Because they can't just have a thing happen without there being a twist involved.
Yeah. Yeah, like, where was that mentioned?
Nope, nowhere else.
Which is definitely weird. Like, you planted that device so that bullets bend, but her heart's on the wrong side.
Uh-huh.
That's not a thing. Anyway.
He didn't remember that, even though he had all the information on it.
Yeah, anyway.
So he hops back. Ocelot hops back into Array. He's about to drop a bunch of nukes onto the whole group, including Solidus. Be like, we're done with you. I'm in the Patriots now. Yep. Screw you, motherfuckers. And so as he does that, Fortune kind
of... So wait, were they saying that the reason they like mimicked Metal Gear Solid 1 was to just eliminate essentially traces of the Shadow Moses project?
I think so. Yeah, I think it was to... And also, it was still sort of the simulation plan thing, but you know, now Raiden was Snake.
Yeah.
But yeah, then it was a way to bring out anyone who was left, destroy them who had any ties to Shadow Moses. And then, all right, so Fortune then does this cool thing where she shows up. It's like, what? She really is Lady Luck, because she ends up just putting her hands up and all of the nukes just go away.
Yeah.
Or all of the missiles or whatever. And someone's like, she really is Lady Luck.
Yeah.
Right. She really is Lady Luck.
What?
What?
After this happens,
liquids. Which also, no explanation.
Nope. And then she dies.
And then she dies. Yeah.
So that's it. They just want to give her a cool death. And they played that fun little jazzy stinger.
Little Deus Ex Machina.
Yep.
Happening. Anyway, go ahead.
So after that, Liquid's back.
Yep.
So, once again, Ocelot loses control of his body. Liquid shows up. And I don't remember if he makes off with Ray again. Yeah. Because that's where Snake dives in.
Yeah.
So Liquid's like, ha-ha, I got Ray again. Screw you. I'm really trying to get to the Patriots, too.
Yep.
That's why I picked Ocelot. Because Ocelot was a spy for the Patriots. And now that I know where the Patriots are, I'm going to get them. And says he... Yep. He then takes Ocelot in, by default, Metal Gear Ray, dives into the water. Snake is like, you're not getting away from me, dives into the water after them. I don't know why. That's not a great plan.
Yeah.
And so then Raiden is left on Arsenal Gear, which at this point has been just jetting down the Hudson again.
Yep.
somehow it ends up, I don't know if something shoots out. I'm trying to remember now.
I think it just cuts and then they've crashed into the...
Right, they crash into Federal Hall.
Into Federal Hall, yeah.
In New York City. Throughout the entire game, Rose keeps bringing up April 30th as like this important date for Raiden.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't remember. I'll try to remember, but I don't know what it is. Solidus gets here and he's like, oh, it's April 30th. Guess what that is? It was the day that George Washington first took office as the first president of the U.S. I was like, this is where it all began.
Therefore creating the Patriots.
Yeah, exactly. And therefore, that was when the Patriots took control of the U.S. So he's like, it was today. Today was the day I was going to end it. This is like the weird part where you realize that Solidus drops the fact that none of the three clones of Big Boss can reproduce.
Yeah.
Like, they, when they cloned them, they took that part out.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I don't know.
That part was always weird to me. It's like, because then I have questions of like, does that mean you have junk?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to think too much about Solidus' junk.
Shooting blanks? Like, yeah. What's happening here?
The AI Colonel and Rose call back in again. And this is where you realize they're GW, and they basically just tell you, yeah, we're the Patriots.
Yeah.
And they sort of like play the role of explaining what the Patriots were doing, which at this point we've covered what they're doing. They just sort of lay it all out. Literally just wrote, this is wild.
with the reveal that that's not what S3 did not stand for, Solid Snake Simulation.
No. They have this whole big talk about worrying about too much power to the individual in the age of information. And that with the way the information flows, we're giving more power to individuals. And that part freaked me the fuck out.
Yep.
It was like, once again, predicting the future.
Yep.
Yeah. So they reveal S3 was not the Solid Snake Simulation. It actually stood for the Selection for Societal Sanity.
Yep.
Is that story six? Or is that just the resolution?
To me, that's story six because Solid Snake Simulation sort of brought about that to me is like, so you've created Raiden, mm-hmm. but you've also created the Metal Gear Solid 1 simulation. Like, you've created the aura of just doing the same thing over again.
At this point, you've reached the complete circle of this whole Shadow Moses recreation, because now your last mission is that you, as Raiden, must take down Solidus in the same way that Snake took down Big Boss in the original Metal Gear.
I thought Snake took down Liquid.
Oh, it was Liquid. Yeah, you're right. It's Liquid in Metal Gear Solid 1.
Yeah.
And so this is the last fight. You only have the sword. It's, once again, this is where the sword really pissed me off.
Yeah.
It's so freaking slow, and all you're doing is sort of like, I feel like I'm never making the motion the way I want it to.
Yep, I totally agree with you.
That part really sucked, but it didn't take me that long to get through.
I think it only took me a couple tries, and then I was good to go.
Yeah, I think I died like twice, and then everything worked out. The last reveal. So you're on top of the Federal Hall. You have a sword. Solidus has two swords. Because, of course, why would it be fair? And he's also got his weird Doc Ock, like, arm things, which he's had the whole time, but it's the only time it's really come into play. So he's got his Doc Ock arms. He also runs so fast that he sets the ground on fire, which really only comes into effect in the light. You have to knock his health down to, like, one-third.
Yeah, and then it'll start happening.
He'll start dropping the Doc Ock arms, and then he just starts making, like, triangles of fire.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just have to duck. And then, really, it's just hitting him with the sword, because if you hit him three times, you'll knock him down, get sort of a break.
Yep.
Pretty easy boss fight. Like, other fights in the game were much harder than this one.
Agree. Yep.
He dies, falls off Federal Hall, and that's the end of Solidus? Question mark. Like, I do think that actually might be the death of Solidus. I don't think he actually comes back in any future instances. At this point, Raiden's back on the ground, and people start reappearing on the streets and sort of being like, whoa, what happened here?
Yeah.
Snake shows back up and kind of puts the whole wrapper on the end of things. Like, it doesn't matter if the story's, story was real or fake. The burdens that you carry are real. We all have to deal with, We all have to live with our own burdens, and those are real no matter what.
Yeah.
It's like something to that effect.
Yep.
But he tells Ryan, that you can make a clean slate for yourself from here on out, or something to that effect. The dog tag thing, that is when you were like anytime you would hit a node and put your info in, the dog tag that gets revealed at the end, that has all your information on it, which was just really funny.
Yep.
To see. Snake reveals to Raiden that they actually do have a list of the Patriots. All we have to do is reverse engineer the virus code, because the virus code needs to look for a list of names. So if we know what that thing is looking for, we have their names.
Yep.
So Snake goes away. He's like, hey, I'm going to go work on this, buddy.
Yep.
You got some other stuff to attend to. And that's when you see Rose, the real Rose, out in the street. Raiden and them have a moment. Kind of proposes.
Yeah, this is where this gets confusing to me. If she was just a simulation in the game, or like during the entirety of the game,
yeah,
so it still seems like she has knowledge of what's happening.
So I think,
or what had happened.
So here's what I think. I think it was true that everything that AI Rose said about Rose. I think she was a spy for the Patriots.
Yeah.
I think that was all true. It was just that the AI was saying it. I think Real Rose was being captured, like held hostage by the Patriots now that they had a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And how she broke free from that, I don't really know.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it. So that part might be iffy.
Yeah.
We don't really know how Real Rose showed up after AI Rose.
Yeah.
That's a big question mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, why was Raiden still cool with her if he knows that she's a spy?
Right.
That's the thing to me.
There's
that I'm
zero
like,
resolution there.
Yeah.
No,
like you
talking
are
that
cool
over.
With that?
Yeah.
That she's still working for the Patriots, even though the Patriots probably know now that you're trying to kill them?
Yeah. At the very least. That you
or know. At least Snake. They know the Snake is.
Yeah. It's not like she really defects or anything. Or at least we don't know that they defected.
Yeah.
They don't really make that explicitly clear.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, that's...
But I guess we'll... Maybe that's in a different game or something.
Yeah, I believe there's more
maybe
to that story
yeah.
later on. But anyway, so it sort of ends there. Of course, there's a post-credit sequence.
Yeah.
There's some real fun shots of 2001 New York.
Yep.
Or 2000 New York?
Yeah.
I guess the footage would have been before 9/11.
Well, yeah, that's what I was trying to think if the Twin Towers were there or not.
It's a shot of the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
I know there's definitely a shot of WWF New York, which makes me laugh every time.
Oh, really?
That's very anachronistic of the time. It's like that crappy restaurant they had in Times Square.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's very funny to me. So, yeah, there's a post-credit sequence where it's just Snake and Nauticon on the codec. It just has the title, you know, Metal Gear Solid 2 up. And Otacon is like, hey, I found, you know, I reverse engineered that code. It's like, you're not going to believe this. I looked into that list of the Patriots we got, and they're all dead.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot.
He's like, what? He's like, when did that happen? He's like 100 years ago. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
And that's how it ends.
Yep.
That is the ending of the game.
Snake, you there? It's me. I've finished going over that disc.
Did you find the Patriots list?
Of course. It contains the personal data of 12 people. There was a name on it. Snake, it was one of our biggest contributors.
What's going on around here?
I don't know.
Anyway, where are they?
Well, we were right about them being on Manhattan, but...
But what?
They're already dead. All 12 of them.
When did it happen?
Well, about 100 years ago.
What the hell?
So that is how Metal Gear Solid 2 plays out.
Yep.
And it sets the stage. Weird. This is the one that sets it up for 4.
So the last what did 4 come out on?
4 was only PS3.
Oh, that's right. That's
4
right.
is the PS3 one. I've only watched about a couple hours worth of 4. It also goes some places.
I mean, I would definitely be interested in seeing just where it goes next.
Oh my
right?
god, I want to like this has just done nothing but sparked that Metal Gear urge in me. Like, as crazy as this game is, I loved every second of
it. Yeah, honestly, like I didn't think I was going to get into it as much as I did, to be mm-hmm. honest. Like, there was, especially like toward the beginning, I was like, what the fuck, like, is this story?
Yeah.
But I was, the reason I drew it out like this is because to me, this story is just a Russian nesting doll of a yes. story. Cause there's one, you start out with a kernel and you think one thing,
mm-hmm.
you continually just find out more and more information. And it's almost like, I mean, this is like what the Patriots were trying to do, right? Like, this is the truth at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is really, it just like slowly revealing itself, and everything's still contained in there. Cause that's like, you know, in terms of a timeline, that's what's going on.
Yeah.
But the information that you get is just like building on top of each other. So like it, you know, these people aren't the bad guys anymore. It's this, or like, here's another kernel to this or whatever. Yep. And I think really in story, like the last 3, 4, 5, and 6 is where it's really starting to unfold that like, it's not really about whatever started, like mm-hmm. however this started, it's really this like meta conspiracy sort of that's mm-hmm. driving all of this to happen. Just thought it was really
like the story really at the beginning cool. of the game is not really what you're going for by the end.
No, but it's a necessary part of it
exactly.
all, right?
Yeah.
There's an arc.
Things lead to the other events that you eventually do, and
right.
the way they get there, nothing. This game could only happen. This could only happen in a video game. It'd be fun. If this was a movie, it would not be that fun.
Yeah, that's a good thing to say, because I agree with you. I don't know that it would be as not believable, because it's not mm-hmm. believable, but just like, well, okay, I take that back. But yeah, it just, I don't think it would play out as well.
Yeah,
in another medium.
You get more invested because you have to spend this time. Like, yep. I think I only spent 12 hours playing it this time.
Mine was 16, and I swear to you that 4 of those hours were just screwing up the controls. just so much.
Yeah. But I guarantee at least an hour of that is falling in that Strut L situation.
Yep.
Oh, my God. So the last couple notes I have specifically is about the art and character designs in these games.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same guy that's been doing them since, I think, even Metal Gear. Yoji Shinkawa. He is amazing. I've always loved the art and character designs in all these games. He's still working for Kojima today.
Mm.
Still one of the, like, it's one of the things you can look at in Death Stranding and still go, that's really great.
Yeah.
Like, the guy just does solid work. He did a game last year called Left Alive,
mm-hmm.
which, horrible game. The only redeeming quality is the art.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Super solid art designs. Always comes up with really interesting designs for mm-hmm. everything in the game. Big fan. Just had a note on here. You know, a lot of people, when you hear like Metal Gear, you think of Kojima. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to remember that a lot of people help make these games, and that they often get forgotten when Kojima puts his name on a game.
Yeah.
Like, there are people. Gameplay, as crazy as it is, like for the PS2 at the time, like, I still think it's a real fun game to play.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think there's a lot of really neat additions to the game, tons of like attention to detail that I know a lot of people had to figure out.
Yeah.
The physics in the game are unparalleled at the time, especially for console games. Just super cool. One of the last notes I have on here is about the music. Mm-hmm. I know about you, but about the third or fourth time I launched into the game and it was running the intro movie, mm-hmm. I was starting to get like really pumped.
Oh yeah.
But da 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 da, like, yeah, I'm about to do some Metal Gear. So the composer of these games and the guy that stayed with them for almost all of the games, Harry Gregson Williams. It's also Norihiko Hibino also worked with him. But Harry Gregson Williams has composed for all of the Metal Gear games. I looked up his credits. This is my favorite thing. Because if you notice in the book or in the credits, they list him as the composer of Enemy of the State. Which is like, really? That's the movie you want to bring up? He's also done all of the Shrek movies.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Not even just like the mainline movies, like Shrek the Halls.
done
literally every single piece of Shrek movie he's done the music for. He's also done The Rock by Michael Bay. So it's like, it's weird.
Yeah.
Like, all over the place. Like, he's done spy movies and he's done weird cartoon movies. You know?
That's
like,
very strange.
Yeah, but
I forgot The Rock was Michael Bay. Sorry, that's a side side comment. But
it's so wild.
Yeah.
So then the last note really I wanted to bring up was just about the weird edition that Substance Edition that we played. There's actually a mode. I don't know if you messed around with any of them.
I tried to run I tried to look through all the menus and stuff, and there was there was some weird like modes in there. There was like a mission mode.
Yeah, there's like VR missions.
There's
a couple of them. There's like a VR mission mode where you get like training missions where you can play as Raiden or Snake. There's my favorite one I found last night, and I did not mess with this at all originally, was Casting Theater.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And you can like recast everybody.
You get like 8 different cutscenes rendered in the engine from the game, and they give you the 2 characters that were originally in it, and then they give you a list of other characters you could replace them with. That was the most fun I had post-game.
Well, I thought, for some reason, I thought it was just going to, like, I'd have to replay the game to get the benefits of that. But it just replays some of the...
Yeah, it's just like...
You could have it replay some of the scenes.
Like, the one I did was, it was the boss, it was the Solidus final fight.
Okay.
So it's the scene where you defeat him and he falls off.
Yeah.
I made it so it was Meryl from Metal Gear Solid 1 fighting random office lady. The only other thing that the PS2 edition has that your edition doesn't is Snake skateboarding, which is what it was. It was a more or less a demo for, I think, Evolution Skateboarding for the PS2. And they give you Raiden or Snake, and they made a skate park based on the plant, the big shell.
Oh, yeah.
So you just skate around. And like they have like it's like a Tony Hawk game.
Yeah.
But it's so crazy.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's like the controls are really weird. Like I don't like how Evolution Skateboarding played.
Yeah.
But the fact that this is the only place you can get this.
Yeah.
I don't even think they put it in Evolution Skateboarding.
Like not as an Easter egg or like
anything. I think this was just like, hey, this is what the game is like, but here's the Metal Gear parts of it.
Yeah. That's funny.
It's really neat. I will have to show you that at some point.
I would like to see that.
All right. I'm exhausted.
Yeah, that was a lot.
My throat hurts.
Yeah, I can imagine. like I said, I mean, I just think just how poignant it was. I don't know, predictive. Like,
it is scary.
That's the thing that kept hitting me, especially, by the end. I was just like, 2016 election till now, like just all of that.
It
like,
feels
right.
So relevant.
Yep. Social media wasn't a thing.
Right.
In 2000.
Yeah. 2000, it was like, not even in Japan.
There were forums, but like that was about it.
It was a much different internet then. It was still just unbelievable.
The fact that, that was brought up and in such detail as to like strike that much of a chord with you and I.
Oh yeah.
About, just recent, like current events essentially.
Yeah. I feel like playing through it now, I have a much greater appreciation for what they were tackling than I did when I played it back in 2002.
Yeah.
I guess,
if the game, honestly, if the game had modern controls, I'd probably say it was close to a perfect game. Like, just story-wise and everything.
Like I said, as crazy as it is, and trust me, I know it doesn't... a lot of it doesn't make sense. That's the kind of video games I like.
I mean, it's just such... so many twists and turns. And like, you talked about the music. Like, this weird kind of mix of, like, spy movie, sort of big band jazz-y kind of stuff. And, like... almost Law and Order theme song esque, like as you're just walking through the plant and like trying to hide and stuff. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know why that made me think of Law and Order, but either way, like just, it puts you in such an atmosphere. And I thought that was really cool. And I honestly didn't know that I was going to be that sucked into it.
Yeah. So I think on that note, just one last question. Did you like it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I did. As much as I fucking hated the controls, and like, you know, I made that pretty clear early on. There was a brief period of time toward the beginning where I was like, I don't know that I can do this. If the controls are this way this early on, but I stuck through it and it turned out.
I'm really happy you got there. This is one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah,
I think.
I really hope all of you out there play it as well.
Yep.
It's easy to track down. It's on a million different systems right now. Please play it if you haven't.
It's on the Game Pass.
Oh, right.
I just found out because I installed it, with the HD mm-hmm. copy that you gave to me, but it was that exact copy is on the on the Game Pass.
Fantastic. So. I'm so happy to know that. Check it out.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So yeah, that is it for the first episode, our month of Metal Gear. I definitely want to return to it.
I agree.
I think we're going to explore some other games first, but if you like it, you know, let us know in the comments. If you're listening to this on whatever podcatcher of choice, please, I'm going to do the shill thing now because we might as well get started on it. Leave us a review. It helps us in the algorithms. You know, the algorithms, we got to get up there in Arsenal AI's rankings, yep. You know, the Patriots,
it's
number one Patriot podcast.
Yep. Make sure that they know us as truth.
That's right.
Yeah.
How much we like their game.
The source of truth.
Also, if you have any questions, comments, I'm sure we forgot some stuff. You can leave it in the comments on the podcast page itself, which is at backloggameclub.libsyn.com. So check it out. You can leave us comments on there. We might address them next month if people have questions or comments or things we missed.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The format, you know, may not just be.
Yeah.
So story driven. I think this game certainly needed to be.
Yeah, we're going to
this way, but
we got other games in mind. You know, we're going to reveal what next month's is. But yeah, the format of because of this game so story heavy, we kind of have to talk about the story.
Give the synopsis and walk through it that way.
Yeah, and go through that way. But yeah. Paul, do you want to reveal what we're playing next month?
Yeah, the game for next month is the puzzle game The Witness.
Yes.
And walking sim, essentially.
Yes. Made by Jonathan Blow, who was known for making Braid.
There you go.
So, yep. So join us next month. If you want to play along, get started now. But thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on the Backlog Review Game Club.